Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Scotchcast. I'm your host, Saul Capet Cynic, and joining me today is Squiddle.
Your microphone sounds horrible.
Does it?
I don't know. Which, not horrible. You sound distant.
Which microphone is it? It's probably using my laptop microphone. Nuburama is also joining me today.
Let's see if I think it sounds fine, but I've
well, I'm just saying you sound distant. You don't sound as, you know.
How about that?
Present, I guess, is a good way of putting it.
All right, you can't hear me. How about now? Is that remotely? Does that work?
Doesn't make a difference.
Doesn't?
No.
I think it sounds fine. I honestly think it sounds fine.
All right.
Maybe it's just me.
I'm on a lavalier microphone on my chest area.
Well, let's maybe that's why it's different, because you're using a different microphone.
Yes, that is most likely why you hear a difference.
Okay. Why would you be using a different microphone, Cynic?
For what reason, pray tell,
would you be doing that?
Well, the Blue Yeti is like, well, the microphone itself is only like a couple hundred grams, but I mean, you have the stand as well. It's like, it's almost a kilo. It may as well be a kilo or 2 pounds or something. So I couldn't bring that with me. I am traveling through Australia at the moment as part of my duties as a member of the Air Force. It sounds far more impressive than it is. I'm just on a course. But no, so like I'm in a hotel room. My roommate is out. I don't know if he's going to come back during the recording. Well, he shouldn't. I don't think he does.
You give him a heads up that you're going to be recording a podcast divulging classified information to people who formerly played the Guild Wars 2.
I told him doing a recording. I didn't tell him when. And then he wasn't here this morning because I slept in. And then, yeah, he's gone. I don't know. He might return. Who knows? We'll find out. Anyway, you guys are celebrating some form of holiday or had celebrated.
I don't live in whatever country.
When's Canadians Thanksgiving?
It was in October.
Oh,
it
was
ages
ago. It was the second Monday of October.
Okay. So ages ago.
Is there a Canadian Day?
There's a Canada Day. It's a Canada Day.
Indeed. Okay. A Canada Day. Squiddle, what'd you do for Thanksgiving?
For Black Friday. What I do for Black Friday.
Either.
Let me tell you.
Is Black Friday a thing in you are? Okay.
Well, me, yes.
I think the biggest thing
specifically, because I know about the online Black Friday presents.
Well, that's Cyber Monday.
That's Cyber Monday, yeah.
Like, okay. Black Friday and Cyber Monday both grew out of the United States.
Yeah. No, I'm aware of that. I'm just wondering if the big box retailers still do a massive push on.
Oh yes, okay. No, they still have people here. Come it's in like droves.
Getting bigger in Canada.
Do you have like a like stampedes, etc.? Did anyone die that you know of yet?
Well, I don't watch the news anymore, so
okay. That's fair.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I mean, unless someone DDoS'd a website that I couldn't get a good sale on, I'm not going to know if anything bad happened. So the closest you're going to get from me.
Man.
But for this Happy Turkey Week that we like to celebrate here, I went up to Seattle.
How cool.
To be with my aunt for Thanksgiving, and the rest of my family came in tow. But during that trip, I got to go for my third time and visit the Nintendo headquarters of America.
Oh, cool. Wait, what do you see when you visit there?
Well, I get to see a little bit more than most since my aunt is the vice president of product development.
I forgot. I keep forgetting that you have someone in Nintendo in the family. Yeah.
And I believe it was product development. She basically oversees a lot of stuff. And the only thing the first thing I did when I asked her when I got there in the car, I said, "So what is it you do there again?" And she tells me, and she goes, "Well, you know that area that, you know, nobody can see because we're beta testing things? Yeah, I oversee that area."
Mm.
And I said, "Oh, really? So you probably have some really great news on the Switch, don't you?" And she goes, "Uh-huh." And I said, "Can you tell me?" She goes, "Uh-uh." And I was like, God damn it.
What's the point? What's the point of having someone in the dinner? They can't tell you anything.
Yeah.
But I did get to see their new building that they put up, which is awesome. Really, really cool facility that they installed. Got to speak with a bunch of people in the knock area. And see like the outside, they got a little tour of the server room or the outside of the server room. Didn't get to go into the server rack area, but you could see it and kind of speak with some of the people at the help desk, which was for me in my position, what I do, a lot of fun.
Nice.
To be able to talk with them about how they do things, how they deploy systems, you know, what they use for their help desk stuff, you know, kind of like what platforms they're using, you know. So it was kind of fun. That was a great time. I got to walk through the certain areas that you could walk through. And the only thing I can say is the areas where they're testing things, they have like a white sheet that is put up so that nobody can see, even within the company, can see what's going on in there, which is pretty cool. So it's almost like you're walking through a clean lab, you know, like one of those.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it is. You can walk down this hall, but if you veer left or right, you're going to get in trouble.
Exactly. That's interesting.
So it's pretty cool.
I guess you kind of have to in today's age where everyone has a HD camera with them in their pocket. Like it's right.
Yeah. And that's pretty much the stipulation. Like even in the main building, when you walk in, it's like where I went, there's two buildings. I can't remember what the name of it is. There's like three buildings on the campus, I think, or something like that. Her building or where she's at is in the older building, area. And, where I went to in the new building, that they put up when you check in, of course, they tell you, you know, no video camera, no taping or anything like that. Can't record anything.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, cool. I mean, that's fair. I mean, whatever. I'm not going to do anything like that anyway.
Exactly.
But got to rub shoulders with a lot of people. Got to meet the gentleman who has the patent on the original NES design.
Ooh.
So that was kind of cool. That was kind of fun. I'm horrible at remembering people's names, so I apologize. If you are listening, I highly doubt it. But if you are, I am sorry. I'm not the greatest with names. I did ask her. I said, so does Reggie work out of this office? And she goes, yes, he works out of here. And so I said, oh, that's so cool. And so as we're walking around, she goes, okay, hold on. And we walk to the side and we just walk down this hall. And as we walk down this hall, she tells me, don't stare, just look in that direction and then keep walking. And I looked in that direction and I saw Reggie in his office on a conference call.
Oh, that's cool.
Damn. So that was cool.
Like, I didn't get to say hi. She's like, you know, don't go say hi. But we walked down the hall. I got to see him like in the office. That was so cool.
That's cool. You know,
so that was fun,
man. I would be the worst person to have as like you're her like nephew, right? So
yeah,
if I was her nephew, I'd be the fucking worst because I'd be like, okay, so what can you tell me? And then I'd like ask as many questions as I physically could fit into the time given.
Sure.
And it would be like, okay, she's not like crumbling and probably not into the lottery, or she just like kicked me out of her house. Like it'd be one of those two things. Oh, jeez. I'm so curious. I'm so curious about what the fuck that thing is. Like there's like rumors that there's stupid little things that come off the sides, the little like Play-Con or what are they called? Joy-Con controllers.
Joy-Con. Yeah, I think that's what they were.
That have buttons on the inner surface. It's like the side that slides onto the thing. So it has shoulders. Like there's so many weird things going on in that system. Man.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I wish I could have gotten anything more, but you know, I respected the privacy in her position, so I wasn't gonna even start you know, getting that. Because I think it's next year, I think she said it'll be 30 years working for Nintendo.
Right. Damn.
And she'll get to be have her name on this little plaque that has her name on there with probably like I think it's like 10 other people
Man.
That have worked ahead of a tenure of 30 plus years working at Nintendo. So
it's only 6 weeks till the Switch reveal. Oh, the Switch
like, is it?
Thingy. It's on the 12th of, I think it was 12th of January or something. Anyway.
I did get to wait while I was – she had to go take care of some stuff. So while I waited, I did play Pokemon Stadium for the first time in my life. They had a little room set up with some Pokemon stuff kind of as a – since there was a release week of the new Pokemon games, they kind of set up this room of different Pokemon games you could play while you're like chilling or just take a break, you know, go in there.
That's
and
cool.
I never played Pokemon Stadium, and so I played that and died probably like 8 times before I won a round. So that was kind of fun.
Nice. Wait. So just because I want to relatively move this along, because mainly because we have a lot. Well, I have a lot of stuff to talk about. This could go for a while, and if I have a long recording on this laptop, it takes like triple as long to freaking edit because it's a laptop. Squiddle, anything else you've been doing? Or any other things, any other highlights from the Nintendo visit, anything else?
The one last highlight I will mention to keep everything short, I was able to pick up a Nintendo Classic while I was there, but only because employees are allowed to buy two, and that's it. She used her second one for me to allow me to have it.
Nice.
So that was.
What is the Nintendo Classic like? Have you?
That's that mini NES, the mini NES.
Yeah,
that
has like have you 30
something games in it, and the controller and original NES design, but it's staying in its box. It will never be opened.
Oh, okay.
And that's it's just going to be like one of those things that hey, I have it in a box still.
Nice.
She was pretty adamant on me getting it and having it, and she goes, "Just get it as a collector's. Don't open it. Just have it sit there because it's going to be a collector's." I was like, "Cool, all right."
Wait, so is that confirmation that it's a limited run? Do we have like insider source?
No, Nintendo. I don't have anything. But she was just adamant, like, "You need this as a collector's item."
And that's
so I was
cool.
Like, okay, cool. So I did. Well, because I have a Virtual Boy, I have like all the other stuff, you know, so it was kind of like added to my list.
Right.
So
fancy.
So that's it. That's my gaming trip news.
Man. Just quickly before you actually get into what we've been doing, Noobarama, do you have any news? Also, you're pretty quiet. If you can turn yourself up, that'd be good.
Oh, okay. One second. in terms of things I've been doing, I went to work. And I bought some things on the Steam sale.
Okay, why'd you buy?
Okay, let's go. Let's do this, all right? Well, I'm not done buying things yet, right?
Civilizations Expansion Pack 42 for Civ 3.
No, wait. Okay, wait. So before, I think like at the beginning of the week or something, before the sale started, because I forgot Black Friday was a thing, I bought Civ 6. And then I'm like, I played it for about 20 minutes, and I'm like, I don't really want to play Civilization, so I refunded it. So that was my first purchase. So when the Steam sale hit around, I just wanted to play something. So I went ahead and bought. Let me just check my purchase history because I don't remember anything I bought.
You're really good with your money, aren't you?
Yeah, I bought this game called Divided We Fall, which is like a tactical kind of shooter, multiplayer only.
Shooter, okay. All right.
It's not a shooter as in like first person shooter. It's like strategy. It's like Frozen Synapse, except in real time.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember what that was, but I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's like a shooting game with things.
Yeah, that helps.
I bought this game called Sengoku Jidai Shadow of the Shogun.
Okay.
Oh God!
it's like kind of like a rock paper scissors kind of strategy game. It's pretty cool. I don't know. And then I bought Dead or Alive 5 last round.
So why did you? The other ones fit you.
Yeah. Here's why I bought this. Firstly, I liked Dead or Alive 4, and I liked Dead or Alive.
4. Why did you like Dead or Alive 4?
Because it has a good story.
Okay.
It has good
save.
And I like the fighting game elements of the Dead or Alive series. And
I find this difficult to believe.
I think the graphics are very high fidelity. And I think the physics in this game are bar none. And
so why do people usually poo-poo on the fourth one? Or is it the third one? Or which is the one that they
think you're expecting
on?
A it's level of analysis from Noobarama that he's incapable of hearing.
People poo-poo on Dead or Alive 4 because it is not – it's just not a great game, honestly speaking. Dead or Alive 4 is honestly not a great game. If you've played Dead or Alive 3, you're not going to like Dead or Alive 4. More or less.
Okay, so it's, that's not the volleyball game. Okay, that's not the volleyball.
No. You're thinking of Dead or Alive Beach Extreme Volleyball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I remember spending hours with that game when Xbox 360 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had that game. That was a fun game to be behind closed doors.
Yeah, it is. But I think Dead or Alive 5 is an excellent video game of high quality.
Right.
And I don't know if you want to, you know, maybe get your head out of the gutter because I bought it for fighting reasons only.
Oh, of course you did.
And also,
when I look up DOA 5, I see a bunch of women in bikinis. That's about it for images that are related.
Oh, I don't ever play against her with female characters. I only play them.
Okay.
Okay. You never gender bend. That is what you're saying.
I don't gender bend. And also, like, the PC version does not have the destructible costumes that the PS4 version has, which I learned after buying it. I learned after buying it. So
wait, what? Wait, the PC version is censored more than the
PlayStation version? Yeah, the PC version censored far more than the... And like, the costume packs, like, are all messed up, so you have to buy entire packs that are $80 per costume pack, and there's, like, 20 of them. I'm going to add all my DLC to cart, and then let's see how much this costs. It costs $1,037 Canadian dollars to buy all
DLC. Yeah. What? The fuck, guys? What the?
I don't know.
What the? It's not even a train simulator. I get you have different cabooses, different cars, but for fucking clothing, really? Holy shit!
Nice.
But yeah, that's. Oh, and I got the Sims 4 expansion, the city expansion. It's pretty good. So I have a question for you guys. I just realized that none of these games are very good.
Yeah.
So I need to go out and buy something else. Right. So
Darksiders.
At first, I thought I was going to get, because Titanfall and Battlefield 1, you can get both for $80 right now.
Titanfall's like, really good, dude.
It's actually...
I know, right? So I'm thinking that, but at the same time, I don't really want to play a shooter. I kind of want something more strategy, so I'm thinking XCOM 2.
No, Dishonored 2.
I don't want to play Dishonored 2 on the PC.
Why?
Really? It's good on the PC. It's not a broken mess.
It's been fixed. I don't like... stealth, like being forced into stealth.
We'll get into that, but you are so not forced into anything.
I
didn't like Titanfall or not Titanfall 1.
Dishonored 1
that much as a result. Like, I felt like I'm being...
So here's the deal, noob. If you because you are like myself, a cynic, right? The way the good and bad works in that game is that there's no bad ending, there's just a cynical ending, right?
Right.
So the reason people say you have to be stealthy is because they're going for the low chaos good ending, like the absolute like low chaos ending, right? The hopeful ending, I think they call it. But if you resign yourself to going for the chaos ending, right? And then just fucking murder everyone in that game. Right. That game is fucking great. Like stealth required. Like fucking just go, and the powers are so fun to use against the enemies. They ragdoll like crazy. They're really stupid, so you can like lure them to dumbass traps and crazy shit. You can do.
But
cool
Dishonored
stuff.
2 is also not on sale. I forgot to mention that's not on sale. So XCOM 2 or or if like I don't even know why I'm saying more.
XCOM's good.
Yeah. XCOM is good, and the story's bad. It's a different kind of game, and maybe I want that kind of thing instead of a shooter.
Yeah,
because I'm kind of burned off.
If you want the best game this holiday, it'll be Titanfall, I think. But if you just want like a good non-shooter, then probably XCOM.
So I don't know if it's still in play, but Amazon had Dishonored 2 for 22% off on Amazon.
I don't have access to Amazon America.
That's true. I mean, either.
Well, you got an American buddy here. <help you. laughs>
I know what you're talking about. I got Dishonored 2 from cdkeys.com for like
$35. I think it's just because like our dollar's so weak. Like it almost nullifies the sales.
Like the only reason I bought it was because it was $35. Like it's.
I have a weird question that may be completely irrelevant to someone who has no knowledge of the outside world, meaning outside of the U.S. When Brexit happened, how did that affect Canada?
It didn't really affect Canada.
Yeah, I don't think. Well, it hasn't really happened yet. Like it passed.
No, Brexit. It's the uncertainty of Brexit that affected the markets right after it happened.
But the actual, ongoing process, and they're still like fucking. Yes. They haven't actually fully separated.
And it's not because the Supreme Court in the UK ruled against the fact that, like they said, Brexit requires a vote in Parliament, right? Mm-hmm. So that could be bad for the actual process of Brexit.
If it could be good if you don't want it to happen.
Because in my Americanized brain, the thing I thought when Brexit happened, like Britain set up a bunch of like dynamite around the border of Britain and then blew it up, and then it's like floating separately from the rest of the European continent. Now it's its own thing.
Britain is already detached from the rest of the continent. I don't think they need to blow it up.
I mean, like pushing it away.
Yeah,
like, it's like now like a severing of that. But I was curious how that like affected the Canadian side of things.
No, the Canadian dollar more or less just dipped again after the U.S. election.
Hmm. All right.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I still say Dishonored 2 if you can, but if not, Titanfall 2 is my
Titanfall 2, absolutely. That game was fucking awesome. I talked about
single player was really good.
I'm just gonna buy all of them. Whatever.
Yes, that's pretty much the answer to everything in life.
I'm gonna buy XCOM right now.
All right. And with that, I guess we'll just transition then to what we've been doing this week. How about okay? So I've watched three movies, right? I can do the like a quick fire movie minute here.
Let's do the movie minute.
And then we can move on to what you
guys are doing. Give us a thumbs up or a thumbs down.
I guess I could. So yeah. So for people at home, I'm going to spend like 5 to 10 minutes talking about the three movies I watched, all of which were good, but in varying levels of good. Then we'll go with what these guys have been playing, and then we'll probably end up finishing with Dishonored and Pokemon. It may be in that order, maybe the reverse order. That's how that's going to go down. So first up, I watched three movies all yesterday because I've been traveling and I had nothing to do. It's Saturday, so I was like, all right, I'm going to go to the local cinema complex and just watch fucking three movies in a row. And there's three movies I really want to watch, and I didn't. People kept telling me they were good. And I was like, all right, sure, I'll give them a shot. So the first one was a little movie called, well, the first one I'll talk about is a little movie called, you know, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. Have you guys seen it?
Is that the one with the Benedict Cumberbatch?
No, it's the Harry Potter spinoff movie.
Oh, wow. Okay. I didn't even know there was a Harry Potter spinoff movie.
Yeah. So it's about... I'm actually surprised how few people know this movie. It's like a really big budget, like fucking Harry Potter sized movie that like very, well, a surprising amount of people don't know it's either out yet or just don't know it existed. So it is essentially follows this dude who in the books wrote a book called Magical Beasts and Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, right? And Hermione Granger like references it a couple times. It's like one of their textbooks, right? It just follows his story, and it turns out that his story is actually really quite fascinating. There's a couple things about that movie that's like really interesting, like people just using magic as a way of course. Like the whole like initial Harry Potter series is all about the discovery process and all this kind of stuff. Like, oh, it's a new magical world. You're finding out little bits of the time. But like this is more like, oh yeah, if you go across the pond, you have to have like your wand registration forms in, and you have to like, but also people like are apparating, disapparating, just like cause there's like large scale magic where they're like reconstructing like fallen buildings and stuff. Like it's really interesting seeing that world like unleashed and like as an adult looking at it rather than a child. Definite big thumbs up.
You mean what everybody wanted from the Harry Potter movies but did never got?
Well, everyone wanted those for the Harry Potter books and never got it.
Oh, okay.
Like it was never delivered till now. Like what that world actually is as an adult, you know, for beyond the first 17 years of your life.
Now, you said a word that I want to ask what it means. You said apparating?
Oh yeah, just teleportation. Right.
Oh, okay.
So basic teleportation, something that the Harry Potter books only really cover towards the last two or three books. Like he learns how to do it in, like near the end of the series. It's like really fucking important if you think about how useful being able to teleport is. But in this, like you never really get that coming to fruition with it being used in combat or like it being used for its many like useful applications, like, you know, robbing a bank or whatever. But that is done in this. So
yeah, and the only way that you really used it is a means for travel.
Exactly.
That I knew of. And the only thing that the bad people were the only ones that were able to just, you know, traverse a room like I'm doing a far reach.
Exactly.
You know, style thing. So
yeah. So definitely worth a watch. It's pretty good. Okay. That's probably even though I really liked it, it's probably the movie I liked the least of the three. So that's like a 4 stars.
So, but it is a thumbs up. It's a thumbs up.
4 stars. Yeah, thumbs up.
4 thumbs up.
Yeah.
4 out of 10 thumbs up.
4 out of 5.
Four out of four. Wait.
You only have 5 thumbs in your hand?
I know.
I have 6. I don't. I have 6 though. Wait. Yeah, 1, 2, 6. Yeah, I have 6 thumbs.
Yep.
All right.
That's Texas.
Next.
So, no, I shouldn't say that. Texas is cool.
Don't mess with Texas, man.
The second movie, and actually the second one I watched, was Arrival. So, have you guys...
Ah.
seen or heard of Arrival.
I'm excited to see Arrival. I'm probably
I am excited
see
to see a language lesson put to celluloid.
I was told this is like the most exciting sci-fi movie, like a real science fiction movie that's like really, 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 really good. It's really good. That's all I was told.
So, yes, it is very good. And I give it the 4 stars, and I put it probably liked it more than Fantastic Beasts, right? But it has issues, right? Like there's like any good sci-fi movie, it delves into pseudoscience in a way that's very interesting. And there's a throwaway line in this movie that like is what the entire movie is fucking about, but she literally just says it once during the entire movie. And it's just like in the middle of a sentence, and you never really like it doesn't really focus upon it, even though again that's what the whole movie's predicated on.
Can I just make a guess? I've not
go
seen
ahead.
It. I don't make a guess.
Yeah, go ahead.
If it wasn't for global warming, this wouldn't be happening.
Oh no! Thank God, no. Man.
Okay.
So the throwaway line and what the movie's all actually about, and I'm happy to say it here because again, it doesn't focus on it. It really should. Is this idea that when someone learns a new language, it actually starts rewiring the brain in very subtle ways. So it's, for example, a reason why like Noobarama sounds like an actual real man when he's speaking in his native tongue, but sounds like what he sounds like now when he's speaking English. It's like weird rewirings, weird differences in your thought processes and your basic modal functions even has been demonstrated as part of like learning or speaking or thinking a different language. And it's about that applied to an alien language.
I'm going to open up my little book here and make a note that want to hear Noob's actual language spoken word.
Oh, he sounds like he goes deep voice and shit. It's really weird. I've only heard it a couple times. So it's very interesting. So it's about like thinking, learning to think like an alien is the core premise, and it's in the guise of learning their language, which is also something the guise of, but it's the process by which she goes through to get there. It's very interesting. It's a very thought-provoking movie, and it has a very so every sci-fi movie has a twist. The twist in this one's good. It's okay. Pretty good.
Is the sequel going to be the same movie but from the alien side trying to learn our language?
Departure.
The amount to which the aliens pissed me off in this movie was...
Well, aren't they like tentacle monsters that draw circles?
Exactly.
They saw a bunch of hentai and said, that's what Americans are. And that's what the world is.
Oh,
and-
we come to Otsu. We see latest hentai movie.
The movie gives the impression that the aliens just kind of lucked into that technology because of a quirk in their evolution. It's really fucking annoying. Like,
well, that's not much different from how we'll probably learn something that's crazy.
Yeah, but we're talking about like intergalactic travel levels of technology, not like a hammer, right? It's like they kind of, if you think about it, watch the movie and you think about it, it's like, this is all kind of garbage. Like the whole like prep, like the weird, there's like weird Deus Ex Machina happening. There's a lot of problems with that movie. There's no plot holes per se.
You know, I'm sure when there was a monkey back then, he grabbed that first bone with the monolith standing beside him. He goes, huh, this must be Ex Machina. Deus Ex Machina. Oh my gosh. Okay, let's, you know.
Like, yeah, it has problems, but it's very thought-provoking and quite awesome in a lot of ways. It's different from any other sci-fi movie I've seen. It's based in a book, though. I think it's called... Because it says at the very end of the movie, based on a novel called or whatever by blah. I think it's called like "This is the Story of Your Life" or something like that. So it's all framed in this this mother telling her daughter the story of what happened. Right? It's very interesting. Anyway, check it out. Definitely check it out. I think it's quite overrated, but it's still very good.
It's a good movie.
It's very good. So the last movie. Absolutely, thumbs up.
Four and a half?
Four thumbs up. Four thumbs up. The last one gets a absolute 5 thumbs up.
Okay, before we go into the last one, I have one quick question.
Yeah.
Because I want to know, how does it base on The Arrival?
I haven't seen The Arrival.
Is the Mass Effect DLC?
Yes. No, I think it's talking about the book or movie. I've heard of
The Arrival. No, there was a movie called Charlie The Sheen, Arrival. Charlie Sheen. I was wondering how it related.
What's that about?
Thumbs uppiness. Oh, you should watch it. You would get a kick out. It's actually a good movie. Surprisingly,
that's cool.
But it's based on the fact that it's a guy's been, if I remember correctly from 10 years ago, the whole listening from space.
Yep.
And he picked up on the signal, and then everyone he knows started becoming the aliens.
Oh,
and he goes onto the ship and he does things, and then
that's interesting.
It's actually pretty cool, actually. So yeah. I think the CGI doesn't hold up very well, but story's not too bad.
Ugh.
So anyway, I'll let you go on to your 5-fingered thumbs up.
Oh, man. Have you guys seen or heard of Hacksaw Ridge?
Yes.
Mel Gibson.
You like it.
I fucking love that movie, man.
Dude, okay, I'll tell you this. I watched that trailer. And I literally teared up.
Yeah, I teared up many times during the movie. Holy shit.
It's like the weird religious symbolism and all that.
Oh, no, that's got nothing to do with it. That's
right. Yeah, for me, there was not the religious symbolism. It's about like this one skinny guy overcoming all the odds type thing.
You exactly.
Know, it's that football movie where it's the Rudy football movie, but put to military, I can deduct from not seeing it yet. And it's like everybody's like, you know, shitting on him. And then they're like, rah, rah, rah at the end, you know, type thing. And
absolutely. Oh, it's based on a true story about a person who actually in real life, and I might get the number wrong, but I believe it was either 75 or 95 people. He solo medevaced from a battlefield. By him goddamn self.
That's pretty good.
It's in goddamn, like, I don't know if you guys have ever carried a stretcher, but like just carrying a corner of a stretcher, like people are 70, 80 kilos, or in this case, like 100, like 150 to 250, maybe 300 pounds, right? Imagine carrying a single one of those across a battlefield, let alone 70 plus. It's just about a fucking hero. And it's really, it is really heartwarming because, yes, a lot of it is about religion, but the religion is just his motivation. His actions and deeds are what make that movie amazing. And his conviction. Because, like, even if, like, I'm not a particularly religious person, though I do practice, it's not the religion that makes me respect someone. It's their conviction and their morals and that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
And that's what he demonstrates in space. It's a dramatization of a true life thing. So I don't know if the actual guys really like that, but like, it just, oh man.
I'm sure people should watch that movie. If he was being recorded at the right time with the camera in his face, he would have said those pronounced things that probably were said and thought of, but not actually verbalized.
There's definite evidence to that effect. I won't say anything about that movie aside from go watch it. If you're interested, like, more war movies need to be about this because it's actually about the non-violent side of things.
Yeah, here's the thing. So the count wise, as we talked a little bit ago, so estimated 75 men. And I guess they stipulate men because I guess it's right. Females weren't in World War I or II.
Yeah, sorry, two. Or they weren't that company, I don't think.
Yeah. Right. So this is they reckon it was about 50, but the soldiers gauged it closer to 100, so they split the difference.
Yeah.
So there's really no full number. They just estimated 75.
Yeah.
That were saved in that night, like. One night.
I need to stress it's carrying a corner of a stretcher is difficult. Even if it was 50 men, that's like fucking Iron Man, whatever, the Hulk, I don't care what kind of superhero you are. That is fucking that tier of difficult. It is insane how much energy.
Like you would have ruined a muscle in your body by the end of that
many times over,
and not known it till a day or when you stopped.
Yeah, exactly.
That it had happened, type thing.
And he saved many of those lives were saved just by that, because again, they were just out on a battlefield, right? So it's like, that is awesome. But beyond that, it just, I think another part of it that makes it very interesting is that he was the first, it's Medal of Valor, right? Your top.
The Medal of Honor.
Medal of Honor is the top.
The top one? He was the first, a conscientious objector. So a person who did not pick up a rifle, to get one. So it's all about like the other side of war, and it's very interesting. Is it?
And he's not a built guy. Even if you look at pictures from him back, you know, the actual pictures of him, he's not like this bodybuilder type guy. And you know, he's a little bit bigger, I think, than the character who plays him.
Yeah.
As portrays.
Yeah.
But still, you know, maybe if you were like half of what Arnold was in his heyday, you know, you could have done something like this and I've been like, oh well, he was pretty strong. I mean, he'd be able to do that. But
yeah,
I mean, this guy, you would look at it and go, really? Like in one night?
Man, it was just human willpower is what that movie's about. And it's fantastic. You should, and the acting's fantastic. Everyone does a great job. Like it's, even if you find religious overtones annoying, as I do, and I've frequently said on this podcast, I usually find that stuff really annoying. This movie is incredible. So yeah, definitely.
And even a religious bigot, which I still like Mel Gibson for what he is, director wise, can make a good movie.
Yes, he can.
You know, for his history, he could still, you know, regardless of what your thoughts are on someone and how they portray in their personal life, they can still.
That's focus the only thing on I really like thing. About Mel Gibson.
Man.
Oh.
All right. So that's my movie bit. Here.
Okay.
I have games I've been playing, but we'll talk about that later. Noobarama.
I also saw a movie.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. What you got?
I watched with my friend. I watched on Netflix The Bridge of Spies.
I see. Is that as bad as I think it is? Or?
It's really good. I enjoyed it a lot. But it's like the kind of movie I would enjoy, right?
Yes.
Like a dry history. There's no real action. It's like, it's about just, it's just an intriguing sort of like, it's tense because of the things on the line, like how the film is like paced and the editing and just sort of what's on the line. And there's not much action or sort of.
It's 91 on Rotten Tomatoes. So it's doing pretty well.
It's very good. I very, very much enjoyed it. It's online. You can watch it.
Like everyone I know who watched the movie was like, that movie was terrible.
If you want an action film, this is.
Oh, it doesn't sell itself as an action film. It sells itself as a Cold War drama, right?
It's not even like a spy film, really. Mm. It's like, it's just more about a lawyer dude who uses his brain and his moral compass to save the day at the end of the movie, and it's a real person.
Man,
he uses a brain more than a gun and accomplishes the same thing.
Hell yeah! Some of my favorite movies are like that. To be honest. That reminds me of a movie that's supposedly out this year. I don't know when, but like I saw the ad for it before Hacksaw Ridge. It's called Allied.
Yeah, that's the Marion Cotillard and Brad Pitt. Film.
Yeah, so it's,
that looks good.
That looks really fascinating. It's about a dude who finds. Oh, sorry, he gets told by his government that his wife is a German spy.
Yeah.
That's right. That's the one that he have had an affair with.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know how it's going to. It just seems fascinating. Like, just, it, see, those two have on-screen chemistry, at least from the ads. It seems like it all could work and be really interesting. And I could definitely be, like, imagine myself in that position and go, what the fuck would you do? Like, what would you do? Anyway. Anything else, Noobarama?
I played Dead or Alive. I watched a lot of Dead or Alive cutscenes over and over again on replay. You can slow them down and fast forward and take photos of them.
I love you.
I played Dead or Alive.
Uh-huh.
There are a lot of cutscenes.
Yeah, okay.
And I think it really shows the visual fidelity of the Dead or Alive engine. And I think just the physics on some of the character models.
Didn't you just say that?
pardon? They have their own engine.
Like,
yeah, they have their own.
I always thought of it as like they're using like an UE engine, like just stock or something. I didn't know they had like their own engine.
Team Ninja is their own engine.
Okay.
But I've been playing the videos from the video game, and I've been playing Company of Heroes 2.
Okay.
I've been playing some Sims 4, and now I'm going to play some XCOM 2, and I'll get back to you guys on how it is. And maybe I'll play some Titanfall and Battlefield 1.
Yep. I have a request. Okay. I want my name to be one of your characters.
And, okay, I'll do it.
You should do that. Yeah. That you should do. You should put your friends as the characters in your XCOM
team. Yes, yes. Yeah. And murder all of them.
Yeah.
Yes.
But when they die, like when you get a new recruit, you can, you're free to call them the same.
I want you to blog about it on a website with at least two pages. I'll put it on.
Yeah.
All right. No. I'll actually do that. Right now I'm gonna do it. The Medium page is Red Pandas Are Great, and I'll be uploading things on there. I have an Instagram. Cool. You can follow me at redpandasaregreatinstagram.com. I take pictures of red pandas and I post them on Instagram. This is for real.
Do you actually do this? Fuck you.
I've been to zoos.
Oh my god.
India. I've been to zoos in Japan and I've been to zoos in Germany, and I take pictures of red pandas and I put a filter on my Instagram.
Bullshit. All right. Where is it? Red pandas.
Red pandas are great. All one word. No spaces.
R as in A-R-E or the letter R?
R as in the letter R. Red pandas are great. Oh, no. In the middle of the sentence. Yeah, it's A-R-E, yes.
Oh, A-R-E.
And then search up Instagram, and then you should find the red pandas are great. Maybe you need to type it directly into Instagram, but...
Red Panda Instagram. Network, Red Panda
Instagram. Lab. Instagram.com/redpandasaregreat.
Okay.
I found Reddit are red pandas. Wait, hold on.
Instagram.com.
Your SEO is not really doing you favor, is it, Barama?
I need to work on my search engine optimization. but with every single one I have a
Edmund Park, Red Pandas Are Great. You do actually take photos of red pandas. There's only four here, though. There's only four posts.
Right, I'm gonna start updating it, and what I do is like I replace like book or like quotes from famous books, right? So I have like a Lolita quote here, red panda, light of my life, fire of my loins, my sin, my soul, red panda, and then there's a Hitler quote here. He alone who owns the red pandas owns the future, and yeah.
Wait, what was Hitler's actual quote? What was the actual quote?
It is, he alone who owns youth owns the future.
Oh, man.
So that's when he started his...
Sorry, there's an article there.
He started the child thingy where he birthed all Aryan things or people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. People to whom red pandas is just a matter of words.
Where'd you take these photos
salvation
with?
Salvation is just... The ones I took here are from the Seoul and the Berlin Zoo.
Now, where'd you take the photos with?
Oh, it's a Nikon D200, I think.
Oh, you're actually using a DSLR.
Oh, yeah, I have a DSLR. For red pandas only. I don't really use it for other pictures. But
that was just with your phone. I like the first one. The rest are kind of okay. The first one's really good, though.
Yes, the first one is my... It's because for the...
It's your magnum opus.
It was behind a glass, so it doesn't look as good.
Yeah.
They're not very panda-y. Like, I would
no,
think
they're nothing
panda-
like red pandas.
Like, yeah, they're
adorable. They're like, I want to have one right now, and just like,
oh my god! So slightly unrelated, but slightly related. I found out today that there's an animal called the fucking tree kangaroo, and I did not know that this animal existed until today.
I didn't know that existed.
Tree kangaroo. Search up tree kangaroo. It looks like a fake animal in like the first couple Google images, but it's real.
I've seen that thing.
Oh, that is so fucking adorable.
I know, right? It's like a big teddy bear.
Oh my gosh!
Is that what this is? I thought it was like some form of marsupial. Oh, fucking kangaroo is a marsupial.
It is a marsupial.
Kangaroos are marsupial. I meant possum, but yes. Anyway, it looks cute.
Wow.
All right.
That's
after this.
Nice.
All these bombs have been dropped regarding your starting of a website.
And I'm gonna make this Medium page right now. Red pandas are great. I'm gonna start blogging. I'm gonna blog about everything. I'm going to release some secrets about important classified government information
because
I have access to that for some reason.
Exactly, yeah.
And I can, yeah.
Man, look forward to it in the coming weeks. To it.
Exactly.
And months. Maybe even and years. Months.
I'm always fascinated by this pouch that marsupials have.
Yeah. Anything else, Nuparama?
I think that's about it in terms of what I've been doing.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, Squiddle.
I have one very important announcement that I must make this evening as we are dropping bombs. But famed actor Ron Glass has passed away at 71.
Aww.
The preacher from Firefly, if you know him not best from anything else.
No clue. So,
wow.
Man, he's a cool dude. I like his this is probably racist. But isn't he the guy who
is black?
Is in
damn it.
He looks like the preacher from Saints Row. What the thing that just came out, that open world game. That just came out.
No. Mafia.
Mafia. Mafia 3. He kind of looks like that creature.
Nelson Mandela.
No. Oh, shut up. Shut up.
No, that's Mahatma Gandhi.
Oh, my God. This guy looks really similar to that guy. I don't know. That's probably racist.
Well, maybe. I mean, yeah. You're right. So, surprisingly, you said that because I did think that was him and maybe the voice when I first watched one of the quick looks.
Yeah.
That had him in it, but. Unfortunately, what this does lead to us is if there ever is a reimagining or reworking of Firefly,
God,
he will not be in it. And Noob, I'm going to come over there and beat you over the head.
No, could you imagine how awful they're going to shit on Firefly? That's the fact of it. Is,
well, okay,
I don't
Firefly
and I don't want them to do it because I know they're going to fuck it up.
So they already did it, sort of, in a weird way. You know there's that TV show that they kick-funded or whatever? That who was the redheaded dude and drawing blanks on all their names now. The main guy from Firefly and the redheaded pilot dude, are in this their own TV show or internet based TV show. I'm only on the internet or where it's at, but it's basically a satire on them celebrating what the fuck was the name of that movie with Tim Allen when he the Spaceman Star Trek parody that he did. Space Quest. Baseball? Did you guys Space Quest? Anyone? No?
No.
Maybe?
No. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, fuck. All right. So if you've ever for the people who are listening,
yeah,
if you've
ever seen
Space Quest, they're kind of doing the same thing, but with the back end of Firefly, where the redheaded dude is the pilot in this alternate universe. Captain of the ship is still the captain of the ship from Firefly. God, I can't remember names. I know people are gonna shit on me about that. But they are doing like this spinoff of they were great at one time, but now all they do is sign autographs. And no, wait, they want to reboot the series with a new name. And so they're already kind of doing something weird like that.
That's
which
cool.
Which is kind of funny, you know, but at least it's going into it being satirized as opposed to it just becomes a horrible thing on its own.
Yes.
Right.
I don't think you can recapture Firefly now. If you did, it'd be so different. Given our tech level, like the technology level difference between now and then, like a bunch of other stuff. Man, like, because TV shows have started looking really good. Like, Westworld looks fucking really good, even though I haven't seen a total episode.
I've never seen Lost, and people were saying it's like Lost, like plot line is like Lost. And
That's a bad thing. If you
ask me. And as much as people shit on Lost, I'm like, I don't know if I want to watch it now.
Yeah, no, so. I was interested. Now you lost me. I'm waiting for the whole season to finish so I can watch the season and go.
Two more weeks, I think, and then it'll all be done.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're saying.
All right. Anything aside from Dishonored else?
I'm looking into – hold on. I'm looking into my mobile games to see if I did anything mobile game-wise. I bought Severed.
Okay.
Which is an interesting mobile game. I don't think it lives up to the hype that everybody was portraying it as, but I'm not that far in.
That thing was getting so hyped. I don't even know why.
It was. You know, I still feel to this day that mobile games need to have a controller based, like either Apple or I would say Apple just because I own an iPhone, that they need to get their controller game in check.
Right.
And have like a controller built for these games, but that's just me. trying to think what else. There is something else that we're going to be starting soon, and it is called something to something. Hold on. Don't quote me on
this. This is really great. That's, yeah. This is you're selling me right now.
Oh, PDFs. Why are you at 100% every time I open you? You are horrible. I've lost it. Anyway, okay.
This is great.
A couple of us are going to be starting a new what the fuck do you call it? D&D game. What do you call that kind of game? Tabletop?
Tabletop adventure?
Yeah, it's tabletop. Yeah, it'll be tabletop over the internet game. With a newly kickstarted funding thing that I
kickstarted. Is there a new like rule set out? Some form of rule set?
Yeah, but it's a whole new game, and that's why I feel like shit that I'm not, you know, able to completely.
It's a dungeon quest or whatever?
Coriolis. There we go.
Coriolis.
Okay, so Coriolis is a, if you were to take Firefly and put it into a game with rule sets, and you could all play your part in that world.
How do you spell it?
Coriolis.
You mean Coriolis?
But Coriolis.
Whatever, like Coriolis, you know? Is like the Coriolis effect. It's like it's a very specific word.
That's not cool. Even a real thing. All right, so anyway. So I kickstarted this. The beta rulebook came out. The official rulebook's coming out like in a week or 2 weeks. And so we're going to be start playing a game of this.
That's cool.
And hopefully it'll be pretty good. It was actually, the Kickstarter was not for the game itself, but it was for the translation of the game from another language.
Interesting.
And so that took a while because things don't always mean the same things. Like a bowl of bread could mean you shit on your mother in another language, and they wanted to make sure it was right. So there you go. That's why it was kickstarted.
Hmm.
So hopefully it'll be kind of fun and interesting. I don't know all the background of it, but I haven't read the PDF yet, but we'll see.
It's very interesting. I love pen and paper rule. If I had more time, man, I would, and my friends had more time, we'd just be playing different ones of these every other week.
I mean, you are making one. I'm sure that's why
I don't have time.
Yeah.
Man.
Well, and that's why, you know, we have, you know, I have Shinboy is going to be the GM for this game.
Yeah.
He's been on here a couple of times.
That's cool.
But, you know, when it comes down to it, it's like, yeah, once a week we all sit down on Roll20 and we play the game.
Nice.
So it's up to the DM/GM to make Roll20 look as authentic as possible and to know the rules set enough to where it's just, hey, we jump in. We know what characters we're going to be because we studied that. And then we go. And there's nothing else. You don't have to think too much when you jump in.
Nice.
At that point. So,
man,
we shall see how it goes.
All right. And with that,
hold on.
Yeah. Go.
Wait.
Go.
Wait. Wait for it.
I hate you. There's been so much dead air. This lost like 5 minutes.
I played Dead Space 2 a little bit again.
Okay. All right. That's an old game. Let's move on.
For Halloween. I fucking love you guys. I love you guys. I love you so hard. I love you. I love you so hard. I'm going to send you a love gram in the mail. Indeed.
Thank you.
Wait, like it's not even Halloween. It's end of November almost.
Wait, it was Halloween when I thought about it. I wanted to record, but I couldn't. So don't
shit. Yeah, he missed that week. He missed that week. How'd you like Dead Space 2, that old video game?
Oh, it was rough going back to it, surprisingly.
No shit. It's like a PS3 era game.
You know, like, I remember all the jump scares and I'm like, oh yeah, that happened. Okay. I think I played like 40 minutes and I was like, I'm done with this.
Dead Space 1 is a scary one. As far as I'm concerned, Dead Space 2 wasn't scary at all.
Yeah, Dead Space 2 and 3 just became action games. Yeah. That's about it.
Yeah, Dead Space 3 was so actually, I played it. That's saying a lot.
But other than that, I played Titanfall 2. Great game. Love that game. Great story. I know you probably talked about that recently in a previous podcast. And I played some Overwatch recently, which, hey, still an Overwatch. Still a great game.
Yeah.
Really tempted to quit my job and do the whole become part of an Overwatch team style thing. Like that was very.
No, don't do that.
That was very tempting when I heard that.
It's a bad plan.
Why?
That's a bad plan.
because I could get a bunch of people. We could buy a house. Okay. Hear me out here. This is revolutionary. All right. We all buy a house together. Okay. We all pay part of the rent and the food and the internet, and we all game, but we do it as, you know, in different levels. Like, you game this part of the night, and then I game this part of the night, and we all build up and we become really, really good. And then we conquer the world.
I don't understand how you get from being marginally better at video games to conquer. That's the part of the formula I'm missing.
Really? I thought it was the mortgage part. I thought it was like five people pitching in for a mortgage and then not really having like dyed-in-the-wool like custodian rights over who owns the actual property.
He did say rent, so he might. They might.
But he said buy as well. Like, these two things don't go together.
I buy and they rent from me.
Okay, so they're essentially paying off your house.
What I'm saying is, you're willing to put down whatever $500, $600 in capital to create this productive enterprise where your friends pay you about $500 in rent a month. So that's expect realistically, you know, assuming that the conquer the world thing doesn't work out, which I don't know, that's an unrealistic assumption.
I know, man.
I think it's very likely. I think that's very likely. And then, so you would be making like what? A solid like $2,500
a month. He's essentially getting four other people paying off four fifths of his rent. I'm sorry, his mortgage. No,
well, look at, but see, here's what I do here. See, when they sign on, I have fine print within the contract that says if they decide to leave at any time, they forfeit any assets that they have acquired.
Oh my God.
And that they bring
in. So this is just like an elaborate scheme. So you're going
to
call it.
But you must realize that somebody who agrees to give up everything to join an Overwatch house will not
have anything.
Or bring any assets to the house.
Like, that's the deal, though. They started like on paper. He was putting it as if it was some form of gaming enterprise. It's actually just a way for him to get a new house and new stuff in it, so that other people pay for.
When I look to move to Seattle to work for Nintendo, which is my ultimate goal, I am going to need a place to stay. And so I figure if I can venture capital this idea to the point where I can at least have a couple of years worth of living and then run away with all the money, we're good.
Nice.
But I mean, it's not as a good idea if you know, you get people paying for about the first 3 months and then they leave, because that's not many assets and that's not enough to pay off here.
Well, no, they have to stay for at least a year and a half. That's in their contract. Okay. They are forced to stay for a year and a half. That's contract given. If they can't support that, then they must have somebody within their family or make up that money in some other way that I don't care how they make it, but it has to be done.
Man.
Are you talking about a payment of the flesh?
No. I don't care how they make their money. As long as they are on time, we are good. And if not, then Gary's going to come down with some harsh punishments. And Gary's not a nice guy. So, but hey, everyone's happy. We're all playing games. It's the best time to be playing video games, as somebody would once told me. And so we're all good here.
Nice. All right. So I'm going to do my Pokemon bit, and then we're going to end the show and come back. This is the thing. Like, Squiddle, have you finished Dishonored?
Yes, I finished it today.
Okay.
I finished it 20 minutes before we started.
That's perfect, because we may as well just do a spoiler cast, because I just realized we both played it. I thought it was just me. So, and we both finished it. We're going to do a spoiler cast. So I'm going to do my Pokemon bit, and then we'll end the show and then come back with a spoiler cast at the end of the show. For people at home, that's what I'd expect coming forward. So may I have my time for Pokemons?
I guess.
All right. I just need to say,
this is Pokemon Red and Blue, right?
This is probably the best Pokemon game.
No, false. You are wrong already. Start over.
It's got some very significant problems and really large annoyances, but it's probably the best Pokemon game. As a person who's played one of every two.
Popplio is the best.
Exactly. So, all right. First and foremost, this is like the lowest budget in terms of the new Pokedex of any Pokemon game. Essentially, there's some problems. I'm going to start with the problems. So, the Pokedex in this game is garbage. It's total fucking trash.
How do you fuck up a Pokedex?
Essentially, they only made like 20 to 30 new Pokemon. Like, fuck all. Like, barely any. The rest of the Pokedex is all old Pokemon. So it's like
But they're redesigned.
Not even. A couple of them are redesigned, like four or five families worth, but everything else, like, oh, you're still fighting Zubat and fucking Golbat, and you still, there's like, there's so many, like, Metagross is in here, but he's not redesigned. Garchomp's in here, he's not redesigned. There's so many, like all the Jolt, like the Eevee families, the Jolteon, Vaporeon, and all that stuff. Like, there's so many old Pokemon in this game, almost none of which are redesigned. It is kind of sad. Like, the Pokedex, I'm going to bring it up here. Give me a second. It's like a real big gripe for me, because part of my thing with new Pokemon games is I love discovering new Pokemon, new, like, ways to use Pokemon.
But Cynic, there's only 151 Pokemon ever.
Like, all right,
that's
so it.
That's the end. That's all there ever was, ever will be.
All right, so I'm gonna start. There's a Bulbapedia handbook for Sun and Moon. That's just the full Pokedex, right? And it is, if you picture like a really, really, really long web page, like maybe like 20, 30 pages long, because only three wide and many deep, right? But it's a really long Pokedex, and you have to go, I'm currently a quarter way down, I'm now halfway down, I'm now two-thirds of the way down, and I'm still going, I'm now... Yeah, about three quarters of the way down, and I still haven't gotten to the new Pokemon yet. There we go. Three quarters of the way down, a 20-page long-ish website, you finally get to the new Pokemon. That's it. Everything else is old. Three quarters of the Pokemon in this game are old.
But isn't this supposed to be a reimagining of Red and Blue?
Well...
Like, isn't that supposed to be, like, going back to the start, quote-unquote, and, like, redoing everything? Or was that – am I not right on that one?
So it's a reimagining in – not the way you're thinking. It's a reimagining in a way that's, like, what if the formula was changed? So it's an actual fundamental ground-up different game. The progression's different. The distribution of wild Pokemon's different. How you catch wild Pokemon is altered slightly. It's in a very interesting way. The way you approach gyms and areas and going around the world is different. So, like, things that were immutable facts of Pokemon from the first game are now changed. Like, for example, HMs and TMs. So, before, if you need to fly around the world of Pokemon, you need a flying-type Pokemon, and you taught them the fly HM. And you learn how to fly. If you need to swim across water, you need a water type Pokemon that's able to learn surf, and then you teach them surf, and you fly around the world. In this, the two have been disconnected entirely. All those old HMs that used to be how you traverse the world are now just TMs you can teach Pokemon if you want to, and they have no impact on the world at large. Now you have rideable Pokemon. So I, by pressing the up button, summon a fucking Charizard that serves as my fly. So
I just want to say that's the dumbest looking thing in this entire...
It's really weird. It looks dumb, but it's also kind of jolly in a way I can get behind. Like, me riding around on a Tauros is pretty jolly. It's pretty fun.
Sure, jolly's the word I'll use. That's
totally. Okay. But it's important because now you don't... For example, you can go for all Fire-type team, right? If you want to. You can be a fire-type dude because you don't have to worry about having a water-type for surf or a flying-type of fly. It's.
Well, I was told that you still need to keep a variety and build up your other Pokemon and not have a single class of all that you have on you as one type.
Yes, you should do that, but there's no longer a mechanical reason for you to have to do that. And that's really good. It allows for diversity. There's also – they – don't have Mega Evolutions, which I actually really like that for X and Y, so I'm pretty sad that's gone. But they replaced it with a new thing where now there's no longer any gyms. There's no gyms in this either. So before, where you'd go around the world, you fight a gym, and then you move on to the next gym, you move on to the next gym, and you get seven gyms and you win. Now, instead, islands have challenges on them that you complete. And the challenge usually means you fight like three Pokemon or take pictures or like there's a bunch of different stuff. And then after the challenge, you fight a totem Pokemon which is just like a beefed up version of a normal Pokemon. And that's pretty much, it's like, that's pretty much it until you fight the Island Kahuna. So you do like two, like one to four, like three challenges on the island, and then you fight the Kahuna. And that's the only real like gym battle-esque thing you do. But it's no longer like the whole island is themed around ice and there's a big ice plane or whatever. Now, like, an island can be really varied. So you go to an island and it's like ghosts in one corner, flying types in another corner. And like, it just switches up and changes up in a really fun way that like everything, every corner, every new route feels different. They also did a great thing by distributing random Pokemon in a very good way, where like things that you're used to being like an end game Pokemon, so Metagross, would be like mid game in this, because they put him earlier in the game, and that allows him to get into more teams. While Pokemon are no longer like always the shittest version, like it's actually really soon that you start seeing like fully leveled like Butterfree's and Fearow's and not Raichu's, but like you get like up like not the base tier but higher tiers of Pokemon way earlier in the game now. So it's like it keeps it mixing it up and keeps it interesting, even though while Pokemon are still semi-annoyance. They also made like surfing across water way simpler. Like now if you're surfing, the encounter rate is way, 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 way lower. And if you want to find water type Pokemon, you just fish for them or off the side of your Lapras and stuff like that. Like every corner they've changed something, and it's really good. These are really good changes in many cases. Your Pokemon are no longer to like a different place. So now you just go to the Pokemon Center and everything's right there. So you don't have to worry about finding the Pokemon and all that kind of stuff. There's like when you capture a Pokemon, you can now choose to substitute it right into your team rather than have to go back to your computer. There's like, yeah, just so many little quality of life things that are fantastic. The formula is so different now. It is probably the best Pokemon game. Obviously Red and Blue and Green and Yellow are up there with like the all time, like, you know, you can't retouch them because they're like that period of time. They were part of the big deals when they came out. But since then, aside from the Pokedex and a couple other things, which I'll just quickly go into, it's amazing. SOSs. So finding wild Pokemon, it can now be like a Dark Souls-esque thing where if you have the wrong Pokemon in and you're in the wrong situation, everything can go really south. Because when a wild Pokemon gets to low health, it starts summoning help and other Pokemon just start fucking showing up. And you get like, so it's like one versus two. And then if you're like at a type disadvantage or even worse, a speed disadvantage, they just start pummeling you from both sides. And you can only ever fight them one versus two. It's nuts. It's like, it can be very interesting. So the biggest problem I have with this game is something very specific to high-end play called EV training. So for people who don't know, Pokemon have their stats, which is broken up into their base stats and their EV stats. So it's like effort values is what I think they stand for, but essentially it's the thing that differentiate. There's three things that differentiate Pokemon. There's the IV, I think that's invisible value or whatever. It's like the base, like something core about the Pokemon that's randomized when it's generated from whatever, a number table or whatever. Then it's base stats, which is unique to a species, so every Gengar would have roughly the same base stats, and you add your IV, which gives them the differentiation between two Gengars. Then you have your EV, which is your effort values, which is your training on top of that. It's the reason why a trained Pokemon or Pokemon you have is more powerful than a wild Pokemon at the same level. It's because you've fought it against other Pokemon and it's gained EVs. But part of the competitive space is to train a specific EV. So you can specialize your Pokemon. So I can have a Gengar who's been trained normally that's like essentially an all-rounder. So it's because you're battling it and it's gaining EVs that way, you battle just more than one type of Pokemon. So it gets EVs of different types all the time. So it ends up really spread across EVs, across all its different stats. So essentially, if you picture a graph, and they actually show this to you in-game, which is like the six-pointed star with each point representing a stat. and there's like a circle in the middle ish. That's what a normal Pokemon trained by just fighting random Pokemon as you progress looks like. It's just a circle in the middle of that. But if you EV train properly, it looks like two spikes instead of a circle. So one spike towards the stat, one stat you want, and another spike towards another stat you want instead of a circle. So the area within it is about the same because it's still 512 points, but it's all specialized to two different stats, or if you do it like most people do it. So the way in X, Y and stuff you can do that is there's a mini game you could play that actually told you the amount of points you're doing per iteration of the mini game. And it allows you to easily and very specifically to minutia distribute your EV values by training every Pokemon that way. In this, they took that out, and that really pisses me off. So super training gone, and they now you have to like either fight specific Pokemon in with a power band, but to get a power band, you have to get 50 battle points, which is like this really like level 50 end game stuff. Or you can use something called the Pokepelago, which is, brings me to the second big problem I have with this game. So you have my primary one, Pokedex is bad. The second big problem with this game is time sinks. They put the damn time sinks in my damn Pokemans. And that's so, pissing
what
me
do you,
off.
What do you mean by time sink? Like, just like how much time it takes to do certain things exactly. with your Pokemon?
So there's always been like...
I thought there was this island that you could send your Pokemon to level up.
In exactly. That game. Is that, so, okay. But that's now effort values as well. And a bunch of other stuff. So before... berries were a thing which are time-based. So if you plant berries and you can go back and you can pick them up in things like 12 hours or whatever between berries like sprout. Now all the time-based stuff is all put in these islands. So berries are on the islands, Pokemon trainings on the islands, effort values on the islands. And there's like that system though has its own currency called beans. And you only get a couple of beans per day. And beans are used to speed up things that happen on the island. But things on the island take fucking forever. So the berries I planted yesterday take like 72 hours to grow. Real life hours to grow. So I have to like use poke beans to make them grow in half as fast. So like 36 hours. I'm still waiting a day and a half for my berries to grow. Same with EV training.
Can't you just feed them like rare candies and they're good?
Oh my God. Pisses me off. I hate it. God. It's such a time. I put in Pokemon yesterday, my main Pokemon yesterday, because I'm training them. Sorry. So I've been forced to start eugenics experiments in this game to get around this problem. Because there's my main team, which I go around and whatever and do my normal stuff and go through the main story. But because of this garbage fucking system and me wanting to have a good team at the end, I've essentially... I found a Ditto, slapped some lipstick on it, took him to a fucking trainer or the daycare center, and they just started breeding. I've bred like...
I thought that was a Ditto.
Oh, Ditto. That's what I call it. I don't know. Might be Ditto. I don't know.
I don't know.
But essentially, I've bred like at least 70 babies searching for the perfect ones to then breed with their parents to get fucking more perfect babies. Fucking it's fucking dark, man. I didn't want to do this. They made me do it. They made me. For example, I wanted a because every Pokemon has a nature and that determines their stat distribution. So if I want an adamant Metagross, for example, I need to breed Metangs enough to get like an adamant Metang to be birthed. But if I want a female Popplio instead of my male one at the moment, then I need to breed like 30 of them because the percentages for a female Popplio are really low. So now that my Popplio has a daughter, now I want Timid. But Timid's on my original Popplio, so don't tell Popplio, but that Popplio he got with was his daughter, and now I have a Timid female Popplio. It's dark, man. It's fucking dark. Pokemon's weird. So yeah, I hate the idea behind all of that stuff. It's stupid. I know it's a video game, but you should just left your Super Training in. You bastards. You should have just left Super Training in. You had this figured out last generation. What the fuck? That's it. That's my Pokemon Minute. I love that game. Okay. It has problems. I love that game. I put like 70 hours into it now. I've got another week of it before Final Fantasy.
So do you play during different times of the day?
Yes. Okay. Only because like I have a lunch break, so I can usually spend my lunch breaks looking for Pokemon that only come out during the day. Because, okay, you know, well, you got to catch them all, etc., etc. I've never caught them all. Just to be clear, I've never in any particular Pokemon game gotten the full Pokedex.
So if you, even in the original?
No, not even, I never got 151. I was, because I just don't have people to trade with, you know? Like, it's,
you don't need people, you just use hacks and glitches to get it. You don't need,
I mean, sure.
Who needs to socialize with anybody? Let's get real here. Video gaming is not about socializing. It's about fucking your fellow man and shooting him in the head.
Oh, man. I need to thank Nick Brenham, or he used to be at Riven. He used to be on this podcast back when we were in our Guild Wars 2 days, because he helped me keep my Gengar because I had a timid Gengar that I really wanted, because that's minus attack plus speed, and I wanted fast Gengar. But sorry, a Haunter. But if you evolve it on the internet, you won't get it back. So I'll probably not get a timid Haunter in return, which means you kind of need a friend to trade with and then trade back so you can keep your nature. Thank you, Revan. Anyway, and with that, wait a second. A surprise Durin has entered the show. I don't know.
Oh, hi, hello.
Hi.
I'm going to throw the Pokeball at you. Let me catch you, Durin. Hold on. Let me throw it out there in the grass. Okay, it's wiggling. Oh, shit, didn't make it. All right.
So this Pokemon game, we're jumping straight into it. This game did a thing to me that apparently has been something it can do for a while.
I need to stop you because we at least need to explain what the fuck is happening for listeners.
No, hang on. We'll explain that in a second.
Okay.
Mine first. Because I need to know whether this happened to anyone else, because somebody claims this has been a thing. So, three shakes and you win, right? Like, guaranteed. Once the Pokeball shakes, third time, you got the Pokemon.
So, I don't think that's been that way for a while, man. I think it's three shakes and you still have to. You're still waiting.
That is, okay. If it was done in red and blue, that's how it is. If it's done after that, fuck all creative rights for anybody who did anything afterwards.
Yeah, no, but they balanced it, though.
This is the first time. Like, I played every generation up to this point. This is the first time that's happened to me, and it shattered my reality.
It used to happen to me too with legendaries all the time. I don't know about red blue, but after red blue, it's definitely three shakes ain't story ain't stopped till the chime goes. And it tells you got the Pokemon.
But it's Miyamoto's rule of three, man.
Oh, man.
Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
So I'm probably going to cut this in just as we're saying goodbyes. So Nuvaron was probably going to disappear.
Like I said, guys, you want a short cast, fuck off. Here we go.
Durin appeared. You will hear him again at the end of the Dishonored segment, like probably an hour from now, or 2 hours from now. So, yes, apologies for the weirdness. Hopefully I can cut it in a way that makes sense.
This episode of the Scotchcast brought to you by Kojima.
Perfect.
That's the name. I'm writing it down. Brought to you by Kojima. I am Durin. We were talking before the show. You weren't sure if you can make it. We started without you, but you're here now. I'm happy to have you. Go on with the Pokemon.
I'm not going to explain again why I'm now back on the show. You have to wait until an hour from now, and then you'll hear the explanation as for why I'm here.
This is great. This is absolutely.
So the people just finished listening to me have like a 15-minute rant about the things I don't like about Pokemon. So I think it's the best Pokemon since Red. I think it's the best. I love the way it fundamentally changed the formula.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. there's very little so far that I have to really complain about.
Yes. I could complain, but I think it's positives outweighs negatives by a very large margin.
The biggest complaint I have, and it's probably the biggest you had as well, is the call for help. That is
really I love it.
The call to help for me is for Pokemon what tripping was for Smash Brothers.
I don't know what that means.
It is the feature that was dog shit and nobody wanted it.
Oh, I love it. I love it. There's so many benefits to it.
Help five fucking times.
When no, because my Pokemon's. Oh, when you carry catch it. Absolutely. Yes. Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Fuck that.
But you can get awesome stuff. Like I was catching an Electikid and he called for help and there was another Electikid and I used Body Slam on him. So he's done. And then he called for help again and a Chansey showed up. And I caught a Chansey.
It's actually been helpful. Like I was fighting Cubone, and he called for help and called a fucking Kangaskhan. I'm like, all right, Cubone, you fucking
yeah, you fuck off, you Kangaskhan, you're mine. I'm
dead now because Kangaskhan is my new target.
Oh, it's so good. I love the way it like diversifies what you can catch because you don't know what the call for help Pokemons are going to be. I got a Pikachu because called for help.
So I don't know if this is a new thing for this game or not, or if you're even aware of this, but you're familiar with Miltank, right?
Yep.
It has now been folded into the Tauros family.
Really?
Miltank is considered female Tauros.
I knew they were on the same page. I was wondering why.
Yeah.
That's weird. Okay.
Yeah.
I guess it makes sense. I don't know.
Yeah. But no, like aside from like that's really my only major complaint with the game. There's like a technical complaint I have alongside that, and that is that once you have defeated one of the called Pokemon and you're back down to one again, it still pulls up the UI for targeting as if there were two.
Oh, dude, shut up. The technical complaint I have is when there's ever more than two Pokemon on screen, that frame rate drops to like five. Oh,
man. So if you had a one versus two and then used a Z power?
No. I have. It just chugs. But the worst is battle style, whatever it's called, which is one versus
battle royale.
But battle royale, four man free for all. It's so going like five frames a second. The whole battle.
So now they're in Australia. Is it royale or royal?
Royale.
So here it's royal.
Okay, it's royale.
Like messes with me because what the hell is a battle royale? I don't.
Oh man! Yeah,
no. The performance is definitely an issue in some places.
Do you have the new 3DS or just the normal?
I have the new XL.
Oh, I thought I only had a problem because I have the normal XL.
Ew! It still chugs even on the new.
That's
maybe not as bad,
dumb.
But it's noticeable.
It's fucked, man. It's like it actually affects. I didn't think I would mind, but it actually does kind of fuck. It makes it hard to see what's going on.
It's pretty rough. Like,
it's bad.
And honestly, like, I'm kind of glad for it. So
Hear me out.
I'm glad because, like, so there's been some rumblings here recently, probably the last, I guess, probably a few days. Pokemon Stars has surfaced in the rumor mill.
It's probably the most exciting thing I've heard for a while.
It's the third iteration of this game, which they've done in almost every generation prior. I don't think X and Y had one, but they had sequels instead.
Yeah, they had sequels instead.
So it's going to be the same narrative and all that stuff. The really cool thing about it, if it ends up actually being true, is that it's still going to retain the art style of this game, but with higher fidelity visuals.
Wouldn't it be amazing if it was actually true?
Wouldn't that be something?
Wouldn't
that be great? Squiddle, if you know something, I hate you so much right now.
No, because you might not. I don't know anything. Probably don't. I'm just saying, wouldn't it be great? I mean, that's my only reason for wanting to get a Switch.
Oh, man. Okay.
Because I hold out.
Pokemon Stars, and you roll back to when there were, like, prior to the actual unveiling, one of the big rumors back then that came out of a person who also then had some other rumors about the Switch that were then confirmed by Nintendo when they did their unveiling.
Yep.
Was that there would be a Zelda game, a Mario game, and a Pokemon game within the first 6 months of launch.
Dude, we were talking about this earlier, right? Where the thing that decides the trajectory of the Switch is whether they get the mobile, like the handheld games as well. And if they're getting Pokemon, that means they're getting Professor Layton, they're getting Phoenix Wright, and that's all I need, man. I'm sold.
A lot of people worried about that when they showed that first unveiling because it was all like console game stuff, but I think that's what they needed to show.
Yeah.
To show people like we are still in it for the consoles.
Yeah.
I think that the thing they show off in January is going to show a lot more of the mobile or the handheld stuff as well.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's maybe too early to show off Stars. But again, if these rumors were true, one of the things that came out was that they were working on Stars right alongside Sun and Moon. But then they put it on the back burner so they could finish Sun and Moon, get out on time. And they've now since returned to Stars to work on it. So it sounds like it's pretty like it's been in development. It's not like this is something that's going to be a ways off. So it's pretty like conceivable that this game could launch in the first 6 months of.
I mean, wouldn't it be great if it has been in development for quite a while? I mean, wouldn't that be a great
thing? Squiddle, I hate you. So here's the thing, right, Duren? Squiddle, I don't know if Squiddle is just fucking with me because his aunt is actually the head of product development or whatever at Nintendo, and he recently visited her, and we just had a story with him talking to her about stuff.
Squiddle, we need to talk after this recording.
I don't know if he's fucking. He's probably fucking with us because she wouldn't tell him. But if he isn't, I agree with you, Squiddle. It would be fucking amazing if Pokemon came to.
I know, right? That's what I'm saying. It would be amazing.
You know, particularly why I'd like it is if I can transfer my Pokemon from this to that one because I just had a 15-minute rant about how bad EV training is in this one and like how the deeper Pokemon stuff like IVs and EVs and all that kind of stuff.
My friends told me the IVs, I guess, are like way easier than they've
been. IVs are easier but you have to get to level 100. If you get to level 100, there's a dude who can give gold bottle caps to maximize the IVs of your Pokemon, which is good.
What is this, Fallout?
I know. They put the Fallouts in our Pokemons, but that's good. But until then, you're still fucked, and EVs are just fucked all around. Until you get to 50 battle points or whatever. And battle points are hard to get because you have to be level 50 to get them pretty much.
So see what you do, the pro strat here is you just don't give a fuck about maximizing your fucking Pokemon and you play a fucking game.
No, man. Yeah. I need it. Especially after the last one. You pick
your Pokemon based on how they look. Like if they're cool, they're on your team. And you play that way and generally you'll do all right. And look, you know, it's not like you're going to be going to some fucking world championship.
No. Team. Yeah.
You can count on one hand the number of people you're going to actually fight against with your team.
But I want to battle a bit. I want to battle
where it fucking matters, I mean.
Where are you up to? The online
battling, but honestly, like 90% of those people are going to be like me. They're going to be people who are just choosing their team because they're
that's
cool.
That's why I love it, because I will dominate you.
But that's the thing is, like, as long as you have some level of intelligence, you'll still dominate those people because you know how counters work.
That's true.
And you know, like, the basic thing of, like, yeah, it's cool that this water Pokemon can know psychic, but he probably should know water abilities because they hit harder.
It's like, what's his face? It's like Final Fantasy. I don't want to finish the game with doing 9,999. I want to finish the game doing 99,999. I want to get Limit Break. I want to get the final weapon, and I want to maximize his strength.
I say all this because like I have a friend who's even crazier than you are.
Yeah, okay? I'm not surprised.
He just recently told me like he finished Pokemon. He beat it. So what he did is what he does apparently every generation, at least for the last few.
Mm-hmm.
And that okay, so he bought this digitally, right?
Yep.
Finished the game. Took him 30 something hours, whatever, mid to high 50s, I think was his level. And then he went out and bought a physical copy. And so what he does is his digital copy is his play around, mess around, just don't give a shit, you know, whatever team. His physical copy is where he's doing his fucking Pokemon Frankensteining.
Oh, man.
That's where his team consists of like five fucking Magnemites because he's trying to get just the perfect.
Oh, that Pokemon. I literally was just talking about this. I've bred like 70 eggs. I've bred daughters with their fathers. I've done crazy shit. I'm not proud
like,
of.
So at least like I can appreciate how he's doing it because it makes it so that he has a copy of the game as a team that he can play with just anybody.
Yeah. And it also makes him, it lets him have that like normal experience of like, oh, this is a normal Pokemon game.
So one of the things he enjoys doing, I think on his like just fuck around one, is he likes experimenting with single type teams.
Mm.
So I guess last generation he built an all dark team.
That's cool. I was just telling these guys how good it is that we don't have to have HMs anymore, because you can have a single type team. You don't have to have worry about having a flying type and a water type, both surf and fly.
It's so fucking awesome. Yeah, so that's one of the best changes you made.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, and what he's found out actually by doing that is that having a single type team is actually incredibly powerful.
That's cool.
You would think you would be fucking like gimped, but like you're not. Like you actually, it's an incredibly powerful team, especially if you can synergize the Pokemon with each other.
Absolutely, really well. And because like I would only have like, say you went dark, I only have two or three Pokemon on my team that are strong against dark. Everyone else is just neutral or bad against dark. So if he has dark Pokemon, can take out my Pokemon that are strong against dark, then he essentially will roll over the rest of my team. So
yeah, it's really cool. That's something I'm actually curious to kind of dabble in as well.
Maybe
once I actually beat this.
So who'd you pick?
Oh, fucking Litten, of course.
Oh,
fuck off!
Fire every time.
So I need to tell you, and for people at home, if you haven't picked up Pokemon yet, this is something. Sun or Moon?
Sun.
Okay, yeah. So Litten. And the sun, so I have an Excel spreadsheet.
No, I knew that was going to be the case. I knew the legendary was going to overshadow Litten.
No. That's not what I'm saying. So I have I have a spreadsheet where I graph out my future team. So the problem is I usually spend like hundreds of hours per Pokemon game, right? But I usually do like I finish the Elite Four, which is the whatever team, and then I go into the breeding and all that kind of stuff after the Elite Four. But the problem is Final Fantasy 15 comes out later this week. So I don't have time for that shit. So I'm doing all in one playthrough. That's why I'm going through eugenics already. So I had to like map out my future team. And if you have Pokemon Sun, you want your primary your starter Pokemon on your final team, which a lot of people do. Like it's obviously optimized
I tend to carry it on through the Elite Four, and then I generally replace it after that.
Really? Okay. So I tend to always have them. Like it's my heart. They're the heart of my team, and then I build a team around them. And especially since they're usually pretty good, like the upper middle tier. They're never top tier, but they're upper middle tier. The Litten and Incineroar, his final form, synergizes with Solgaleo really, really, really well. So so having them both on a team closes off like half your type disadvantages because those two synergize. Ooh. I definitely, if you have Pokemon Sun, would pick Litten if you care about the composition of your final team. Otherwise, Popplio is my jam. Popplio is life. Popplio is love.
See, I it's good to know that because I was actually really strongly considering going ahead and tossing what's his middle form?
That one. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Weird. I was considering tossing him and replacing him with a Growlithe.
Oh, so, Arcanine's so strong.
Arcanine's so good. That's why I was thinking about
it. So good. But no, he's...
But if that's the case, I might go ahead and hold on to him then.
Nah, yeah, I'd say Incineroar is probably... He's got less total points than Arcanine, but Fire and Dark is such a good combination.
I did go ahead and toss my Grimer because Marowak is too fucking cool looking not to have him on.
Marowak looks so sick! Oh.
Marowak's so good.
It's such a bad Pokemon, but he looks so cool.
I don't care. He'll get through.
He will get through.
I don't know what's going on anymore.
So I guess I don't. Actually, my 3DS is still on, so I'll go quickly. Let me turn my volume down so it doesn't come through the mic.
Yep. Okay.
So I'll quickly go through what my team is currently.
Okay.
I have finished the fire trial on the second island.
Okay. Yep. So
team is around mid to upper 20s.
All right. Yep.
With the exception of Cubone, who I just picked up recently, so he's only gained a couple levels. But I got Torracat, Cubone. Fucking beast Snorlax. Trumbeak.
Beast is in the game?
Yeah,
beast. Snorlax is so strong, man.
So fucking powerful, especially with that Z.
Oh my god.
Like he is scary with Breakneck Blitz.
The last time I used Snorlax was Red when I didn't know. Ever since then, I've never liked normal types. But he's so strong, I'm considering putting him in my final team just because he's. Oh. He's
incredibly powerful, yeah.
Wow.
Trump is kind of my other normal flying that I'm considering replacing him. I actually might replace him with What the hell is that? The fire Firebird.
Yep, so Talonflame is the final form of that.
Yeah, Talonflame, because I loved that back in X and Y. I'm messing around with a Kadabra, and then my star player, of course, is Charjabug. Charjabug is a fucking monster,
dude. Electric Bug and Levitate. That's pretty good.
And he's a fucking tank. Like, he's not quite a Snorlax.
He's very slow, but God, he's very tanky. Very tanky. Yeah. The only time I can consistently take one out is with a fire type, and since I started with Popplio, I ain't got no fire types. So it's kind of rough. I have to say, it's kind of rough.
Chargebug is great. Him with fucking acrobatics is the best.
So my team, obviously, I'm a bit further in the game. I'm about to finish the third island, I think. They've started talking to me about the Elite Four. But I've got, let's see. My final team is going to be Garchomp, because obviously Jolteon, because I've always had Jolteon since Red.
Oh, yeah. Jolteon.
It's going to be Popplio's final form, which I keep forgetting the name of because it's really long.
Shit.
Then Gengar, Salamence, right. And I think that's it for Popplio, Garchomp, Jolteon, Gengar, Salamence.
Salamence. So that's not Salazzle. That's a different one.
No, Salamence is the dragon flying type.
That's right. Okay. Yeah.
He's very powerful. There's one more. What the fuck was it? It's something fast. I hate this. I hate this because I'm forgetting. I'll bring up the social sheet. You go on.
All right. Well, I was actually going to move on past Pokemon at this point because I got
Komo-o, the dragon fighting type, the new dragon fighting type.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Sick. Yeah, I haven't gotten that one yet. But yeah, that's my final team.
All right. You mentioned kind of briefly, and so I wanted to bring this up just because I read this online. But some people got their hands on Final Fantasy XV already.
I've heard.
And
I haven't seen the impressions.
The good news that seems to be coming out of it is that it seems to run and look really good, even on a base PS4. And apparently it looks fucking beautiful on a Pro.
Good, because I finally got a Pro.
So it's coming out on PC, right? Or is it only PS4?
Nope, PS4.
If there's a PC version, there's probably a PC version, but he's already said it'll probably be a year out.
Yeah.
Okay, well, fuck Square Enix and fuck Rockstar. fuck every company that does that. They can suck a dick.
So here's the thing with Final Fantasy XV is that, well, first of all, when this game began development, they were not making PC games. And at this point, it's been in development for so long, there's no way they could handle adding a PC version into the pipeline and still get it out in a reasonable time.
It just got delayed near release.
hold on. The Xbox One, the PS4 are both running on x86 processors, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, but PCs aren't just x86. There are like a million variants of hardware.
Yeah, a lot of it has to do with the compatibility testing and optimization.
Yeah. Look how many broken PC ports.
I have a fundamental question that goes to the core of all of this. Okay. The companies build games or make games to specifications of platforms, right?
Yes.
Okay. Why would you not? Now, I understand the idea of we're going to build the specifications to what sells the most, which is, you know, Xbox or PlayStation, because you're going to get most out of it. I get that. But why the fuck is it not a thought to build to the highest possible platform that you can build for? And then just make it so you can dumb it down from there. Why is it always
so? Here's the thing:
build to the shittiest platform built up.
Most games are actually developed on PCs.
Okay,
right? Pretty much all games actually are developed on PCs. So it's not a matter of them not developing for the highest console. In fact, that's generally the case for the most part. Is that they develop it for the highest console and then dumb it down to whatever. That's why you get eventual. Definitive editions, HD remasters. That's why those can exist, is because they already had all that work done. They just had to dumb it down back at the time.
Yeah, most companies do that, actually.
Yeah. So it's not a matter of them not developing for, in this case, the PC. Technically, what they develop can run on a PC. Simplifying it here, can run on a PC. The problem is you only have really a small handful of configurations when you're dealing with console hardware. It's not like it is just a PS4 and Xbox One and that's it. There are multiple configurations that have existed over their lifespans that do kind of slightly tweak hardware formats, but it's still like a small number, less than 10 configurations total. And that's all they need to QA for. That's all they need to optimize for. That's all they need to test for to make sure that these run as smoothly as possible. As soon as you throw a PC into the mix, you're talking probably tens of thousands of different possible configurations.
I think it's literally infinite right now.
Yeah, which, sure. Especially when you bring like software drivers, you know, OSs, just every possible thing that could affect the performance of the game and even like, you know, cause bugs that didn't exist in other versions.
Sure, but if you were to build to the specs of the nth possibility and then dumb down from there, it would be easy if the PlayStation made a bump in graphics processing and just say, here's a version that runs really good for that. It would take no time to make HD remakes. But
that's what I mean, though. That's what I mean, though, is that it's not a matter of that they're not building it for the highest platform. The issue is not like the fidelity which they're building this stuff. The issue is compatibility. Hardware compatibility is a huge issue with software development.
Yeah. You're conflating a couple things because the HD remaster, first of all, isn't just because you have the assets and blah blah blah. There's a specific timing to those. There's like a marketing based timing between release and the release of the HD remaster.
In some cases they've messed that up and they haven't done so well.
Exactly, but sometimes when they hit it right, like Tomb Raider, you get double the sales essentially. You're missing the Rockstar factor of GTA 5, which has demonstrated to the entire industry that if you do it right, everyone's just going to buy your game twice.
No.
You're going to buy it on console?
No, that is not true.
Then you're going to buy it on PC.
That is not true because I have not bought that game twice. I have it on PS4.
It's not true for you.
I have not bought it on PC.
Here's the thing. You have not bought that twice, but I can count a number of people, including myself, that have.
Heck, who cares about counting? It's on the Steam top couple list, like months like running.
They will absolutely make a PC version of Red Dead Redemption 2. That question.
It'll probably be timed a year later.
It's going to be 8 to 12 months after.
But here's the point: when you make a Watch Dogs 2, mm-hmm. and you make a 2-week variant from when we're releasing it for PC, I say fuck you, game developer, for shitting on my brand, what I like to game on, because you think piracy is going to make it bad. Piracy hasn't been an issue in for fucking ever, and if you can't put a game out with your release, because maybe it's not piracy, but we haven't optimized it, you fucked up.
No, I'm just
put it out at the same time.
Then. I'm with them on this one. It makes sense for them.
So the thing is that they could put it out at the same time, but what that would mean is pushing back the console versions.
Yeah, and that's where you get money. Why would that?
I don't get that.
Console's where the money is, boy.
Well, fuck all console people then. I'm saying it right now. I'm making a statement. I just
play my games and everything. But yeah, so
all right.
Final Fantasy 15. As we were saying, Duran, there's been impressions. Are they good? Is the game good?
I've not seen a lot of gameplay impressions other than I did see that like the tutorial is fairly lengthy at the beginning, but it can be skipped.
Okay, cool.
Most of what I've seen is like first hour or two impressions, but mostly what I've been reading is technically how it's holding up, because you know we all saw how those demos ran and you know had some concerns.
I'm so happy I got a PS4 Pro. I'm so happy.
Well, the good part is it seems like even on a non PS4 Pro, just on the standard PS4, that it still looks and runs great.
Yeah.
Even at 1080p.
That's true. I just can't wait.
Yeah, that's super awesome. Like I was really glad to hear that because I cannot justify a Pro because I don't buy console games.
I bought And this is, again, I only do this for a couple games. I bought the top-end digital edition, pre-ordered, fully paid for Final Fantasy XV. That's saying a lot because I don't pre-order games usually. So I can't wait. It's going to download before I get home from this trip. I'm going to rock up on Friday night, play it for a bit, then go for a wedding on Saturday morning. So that's my weekend, but I can't wait. I can't wait. Anyway.
All right. So the last thing I want to talk about before I talk about, you know, just stuff I've been playing, I guess, and I don't know if this has already been brought up, but the Cards Against Humanity holiday event for this year.
It's pretty good.
They're digging a hole.
Pretty good.
You can give them money to make them dig it longer. That's it.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Fucking.
There is no deeper meaning to this. There's
God damn it,
thing happening at the end. Their FAQ is actually really good. Let me see if I, I still have it up.
That's the thing, though, right? Because you say that, and the world is now in a place where I believe you. I'm like, yeah, okay, yeah, sure.
I think they already have $48,000 or something.
Of course, they just dig your hole.
$88,000.
Okay, yeah.
Of course, they just dig your hole, and for no other thing, just to dig a hole, you pieces of garbage.
Yeah, so here's some good little tidbits out of their FAQ. One question is, like, what do I get for contributing money to the hole?
Nothing. A deeper hole.
A deeper hole.
Yep.
What else are you going to buy? An iPod?
Yep.
Oh, I hate these people, and I love these people.
Is the hole bad for the environment? No, this was just a bunch of empty land. Now there's a hole in it. That's life.
Read the last one. Last one's good, I think. If I remember correctly.
I'll get to that one. So the other one before I get to the last one is, why aren't you giving all this money to charity? And their response is, why aren't you giving all of this money to charity?
Damn. Yes. That's good.
And rounding it out is, what if you dig so deep you hit hot magma? At least then we'd feel something.
Nice.
So yeah, they've raised $88,314.
I hate these people.
It is 15 hours and 2 minutes left of dig time, and you can watch a live stream of the dig.
Oh, I didn't know you could watch a live stream of it.
Yeah, it's just people digging.
This thing has dug a U around itself. The best part is, like, think about it. Like, this can't possibly be automated. There are, you know, I see a guy in the camera. There are people. They were hired to do this. All they have to do is dig a hole.
Oh, my God.
For 15 more hours.
God, that's actually really tiring work, man. Like, holy shit.
No.
I mean, they're using machinery.
Dig a hole with
a they're using machinery. Digger,
not with a person by hand.
No, this is a massive, massive hole.
Oh, okay.
Oh my God, there's a live stream.
Yep. I was expecting people.
Go to holidayhole.com and you can watch the live stream for another 15 hours. Jeez. By the time this thing goes up, it'll probably be over.
Yeah, it'll be over. It'll probably be an archive. I don't know.
But I just wanted to, an archive watching 30-something hours.
It's 2016, man. It's 2016.
This, by the way, started on Friday.
Oh, my God.
Over 36 hours of hole digging.
So what do you think they will do with that hole? What could we do with?
I'm going to guess they're going to leave it.
Yeah, I'm going to leave it, or they're going to fill it back in. There's only two options here.
Because I know I've donated to the hole.
Oh, of course.
And I just want to know which part is my hole that has been dug.
Commemorative dirt.
Cynic, just to give you an idea, they actually do have they have lots of graphs here on the page. But one thing they have is that you basically, when you donate, as of right now, and this seems to fluctuate, I'm not sure exactly what's controlling it, but for every dollar that you donate, you're contributing 0.4 seconds.
Yep.
Oh, jeez.
Yep. Okay.
So if you dig a hole if you add $5 right now, you would add 2 seconds to the timer.
I don't know, you know, okay, this is bad about me. I don't know what's better about the charity event we had last weekend. The
Extra Life.
The Extra Life or digging the hole.
Okay.
Is that say something about me as an individual?
It says something about the time we live in. That's what it says something about.
Okay.
You are just a product of your times.
Top donor is $1,003.
Oh, of course it is.
From $1 Durin, Bob.
And what else? Oh, we haven't talked about this. Apparently, we're doing news on the bump here, but Persona 5 got delayed. I haven't mentioned that yet this episode.
Oh, I know. I didn't want to say anything to you about that because I didn't want to hear about Persona again.
I want to say I'm happy. I'm happy. I'm actually really happy it's got delayed. Thank God. Because
I put into a window where nothing else is coming out.
Exactly. Not only because it'll be better for Persona 5, but because it'll be better for me. Because of Persona 5, I was going to have like 1 week to play Horizon or like 1 day to play For Honor. So now I'm actually, I actually have a chance to play all these other games coming out in February. Thank God. Since I've been looking for those as well. And you have a Persona Nook right there in April.
You know, you do know it can come out and you can just delay your playing of said game.
Nope.
You don't have to.
When Persona comes out, I will probably take a week off work. I'll probably take a week off work.
Jesus.
I'm not kidding.
All right.
All right. If you take a week off work, I want to see a live stream every day of you playing.
Can I? Maybe I can. Yeah, because it's on PS4, right? So, yeah.
PS4, yeah.
That's what I want to see, too, so that I can live that 1 week with you.
I'm down, totally, because, like, it's February.
That would be great.
Nothing happens in February.
If I could join you in some of that and go, what the fuck are you doing? That would be awesome.
Oh, wait, it's April. Right, so it's April. I'll just see, but I might be able to just – because I have, like, 4 weeks of leave that I just haven't taken. So I might just take that week off in April. Yeah. All right. That's the plan. We'll see what happens.
All right. So that's the newsy sort of things that I had. Mm-hmm. Past that, it's just, you know, I guess moving into things that I've played, because I imagine you guys already talked about the things you played.
Yeah. I have to say, okay. It's been 3 hours. I'm tired.
I'll keep this quick.
Yeah.
Like Overwatch, been playing that real good. Sombra's pretty neat.
Thumbs up.
That.
I like what I heard about her.
The Symmetra change that they're making, I'm actually looking forward to, because I might actually start playing her now.
I like how what Alex describes Sombra's play of the game thing is. That's pretty cool. I like that. That's fun.
You mean her ultimate?
No. If you get like play of the game.
Play whatever. Of the game where she possesses another person.
Like, it starts with someone else and then it's like, nice. It gets hacked and then she comes in after. That's awesome. So yeah.
That's cool. That's good. Yeah, aside from that, I've continued playing WoW. I know this is not a surprise to anybody. It's still real good. I did take some time off to play Pokemon, so I'm playing catch up now.
Yeah.
But I'm enjoying that a lot. I already talked about Pokemon Sun.
So good.
I've also been playing Super Mario Brothers 3. Played a bit of Punch Out. Let's see. I played a little bit of Donkey Kong.
Oh, you have a Nintendo Mini.
I did pick up a Nintendo Classic.
Okay.
I realized it had been that long since I'd been on a podcast. I did pick one of those up.
Hey, you and me, Dern.
You got
Nintendo
one too?
Classic, but yeah, I got one from Nintendo Headquarters of America itself.
Oh, man. Did you get a controller too? Because fuck, those things are impossible to find.
I did not. I probably should have picked up a controller, but I just didn't want to deal with that. I did pick up the playing cards that Nintendo officially makes.
What?
The Fumashimo, or what is it? The
stuff they did before they were.
Yeah. So they, at their headquarters there, they sell the original cards that they made, playing cards. And so I picked up the two sets that they still make in production, from there. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've been playing a bunch of that. I mostly actually been playing it at work. So my boss was like way into this thing. So when he didn't get one, cause he didn't take my advice, I brought it into work and have just been going in his office and playing it during my breaks.
Nice.
But the other thing I've been playing, so I just had a birthday last week.
Oh, happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you.
Yeah, last week. And so my wife kind of planned to get together, had some friends come over and everything. And she got me an Atari 2600.
Damn.
Yeah.
I've been playing me some Asteroids.
This is why you wedded that woman.
Pac-Man. Oh, man. So good.
Indeed.
It took me a little bit to figure out how to hook it up because I forgot that the Atari predates coaxial cable.
Uh-huh.
Oh, shit. Does it? You have to use RF.
Yeah, so the AV hookup is literally just a single RCA.
Oh, wow.
If you plug it in the wrong spot on your TV, you may overload it. So I did some digging, and actually, like, it came with the original owner's manual and everything. So I looked at the owner's manual first. I'm like, okay, what do I need? But what they showed, this made me realize it predated coax, was a sort of RF modulator looking thing, except instead of it having coax out, what it had were the two little V clips or VHF clips that you would like screw into the back of your TV.
Wow.
Yep, I remember that.
So I had to do some more digging. And actually, I ended up finding out, like, it ended up being way easier than I thought. I went to a local Radio Shack, which...
There's an adapter, right?
Open.
Yeah.
It was literally like a single RCA to coax adapter.
Yeah.
It was like $5 back of two.
Yeah.
Plugged that in there, hooked it up to my HDTV, and it works great.
Nice.
Can I just say for the young people who are listening here on this show that... my original gen Apple Watch has more power than Atari ever did. And so,
dude, I'm pretty sure mine has more power than
that.
Yeah. It has more power than a SNES.
I have
more power than N64.
Two fingers has
but that we love games so much. There's such a what am I saying? There is such a nostalgia to playing on these systems that we would go through so much just to get it to work.
Yep.
The best part about it is I haven't really played it, especially the first like day or so. I didn't get to play it nearly as much as I wanted to, mostly because my son was fucking hooked on it.
Ah, that's awesome.
Like specifically, weirdly enough, video pinball was his jam.
Because of the sounds of it. It's a good, nice sound.
I think it was that, and like it was also like low impact in terms of like it pretty much kind of played itself. But yeah, I was super surprised. Like he was fucking way into the Atari. So man. that was cool because like that's I bought cool. him a Genesis way back and he didn't give a shit about it. And I brought home the NES Classic and within seconds of hooking it up, like he was like attached to me watching me play it. And then a week later, 2 weeks later, whatever it was, hooked up the Atari and he was way into that too. So
I literally feel that the simplicity of older gaming systems builds synapses in the brain that aren't there normally for kids that grow up nowadays. Huh. And there's something that is unique to the way that those games are created that just build you as a character in life to solving things and solving problems that you normally would not have seen. So that is pretty awesome that he dig into that so well.
Yeah, I was pretty excited. So yeah, that's pretty much what I've been playing. A lot of classic stuff and WoW.
I actually think the Apple Watch is more powerful than PS2.
Probably.
I'm just giving an example.
I'm just saying like how, yeah. I now that I'm thinking about it, like fuck, that thing's processors are just crazy nowadays. Moment you mentioned that, I just started looking, and it's like 512 megahertz, 520 megahertz. It's got like 512 megs of RAM. Like, holy shit.
I do want to point out, because you guys mentioned kind of in passing the whole Game of the Year stuff, and man, this is going to be a year where I will not be able to contribute a lot to Game of the Year. There's a lot of great games I did not play this year.
Were there a lot of great games this year?
There's a lot of good games this year. I mean, the only great game was Doom. Let's get serious here in this Game of the Year pre-discussion here.
I think there's only like five or six really good games that came out this year.
I will say, though, that with everything coming out and having come out recently, the two games that I still, before the end of this year, would like to get a chance to play are Final Fantasy XV, obviously. Yep,
that's happening.
And, God, I want to get my hands on Planet Coaster.
That quick looks good. That game, so that quick looks cool.
I played the shit out of some Roller Coaster Tycoon back in the day, and that game just looks like, just shoot it in my veins.
Yeah, that looks fun. That looks fun.
I've been watching Shinboy play Planet Coaster a lot in some of his stuff, and it looks pretty awesome.
Man.
Yeah.
All right. That it?
So now we're going to go to...
Oh, my God.
Damn it. No.
So I will see you guys in like 45 minutes.
Oh, yeah, when you showed up. Yeah. Do you have any plugs before you go? Or slash reappear?
Holidayhole.com. It's a good.
I'm bleeping that out.
Non-charity.
I'm bleeping that. Holy hole. Fucking the worst. I hate those guys. I don't love those guys.
Hey, it's better than the year I bought a piece of poop from them and I still have it in a fucking box.
Yes, it is better than buying a literal piece of feces. Thank you for listening this week. I don't know how many times you've heard goodbye by now, but goodbye.
But think how much shit you could just fill in that hole.
/ cut. Cut to the other side. I don't know. We'll figure it out. You'll figure it out. You'll hear it. Bye. That is our episode, our main half of the episode before we hit the spoiler cast of the Scotch cast for this week.
You guys thought it was going to be a short episode. Fuck
oh, man.
You.
Oh, my God.
I'll probably let Noob go unless he wants to hang around, but... thank you for listening, everyone at home. Any plugs before we leave, guys? Noobarama.
I just set it up. Medium.com/redpandasaregreat.
And nice. You
can also follow me at instagram.com/redpandasaregreat.
What's medium.com?
It's like a blogging website.
Yeah. .com/ I just made it. Red. And still A-R-E. Pandas. A-R-E.
I think it needs to be at Red Pandas Are Great, not just really? Red Pandas. yeah, at like the, the,
like this Twitter sim, like the,
yeah,
like the,
yeah.
Oh,
okay,
like a Twitter thing. All right, so medium.com/@redbandas agree.
Yeah,
it's not working at the moment, by the way.
Oh my god.
So just try just instagram.com/redbandas agree.
So it's this.
I hate you, Squiddle. Any plugs?
My only plug, I guess, would be Tritone Cast, where a group of us talk about metal and metal-related information bi-weekly for your fun and entertainment, which we'll be recording tomorrow evening. Other than that, you can reach me at Mr. Squiddle on Twitter. There is no period, no spaces. It's Mr. Squiddle. And that's about it.
Sorry, I was just doing some mic testing here. I'm really worried about this recording. We're at the end of the show.
You're fine.
Well, it's better than losing the recording outright.
Like, oh, my God. True. I'm really worried about this. Anyway, thank you for listening. I haven't listened to the Metalcast because I'm the Tritone Cast, so I'm not really interested. But I'm definitely happy putting in plugs. And that's going to be
still
awesome.
It's still fun. Even if you're not into metal, like, we don't play metal. So it's basically, some of it's just banter and fun listening to.
That's cool.
You know.
Nice.
Fun stuff. Concert reviews. All that kind of stuff that would get you all jiggity, whatever you want to say.
Sure, that's what the kids say nowadays. Jiggity.
That's what the Australians say, right? They say the jiggity, right? It's all about the jiggity.
No, so if you're not sticking around for the Dishonored spoiler show, thank you for listening, and see you next week. You might see something here from Thurbleton. I don't know. We'll find out after. Bye.
I might be there too.
I'm so glad I checked if it was recording for you.
That was a good catch there.
Oh my god, that could have been bad. I've lost enough recordings as it is. Anyway, so I don't know if this microphone's broken. I will do as much editing as I can before I send it to Thurbleton for his end of the show. I bet it sounds terrible. I'm sorry for people at home. Anyway, I'm in the hotel in the middle of nowhere. You can deal. can deal.
You all can fuck right off.
Exactly. Like, come on. I'm giving it my best. All right. Squiddle, you just finished Dishonored.
I did.
How was it? How'd you like it?
I would say for the last 1.5 episodes that I finished, I was in the middle of the second to the last.
Yep.
And the last, with the patch that I downloaded today or that just recently came out.
Uh-huh.
Flawless on PC. It was really good. They did a great job. They fixed all the issues for me that were there with FPS just going in the shitter.
Really?
They fixed the issues that I had.
So I didn't actually have many issues. Like, well,
And I think you would have known. Like, so the only reason I noticed it is because I'm running at an ultra-wide resolution, I think, which... Also, with having your what do you call it? When your focus point, your field of view maxed out, so you have more on the screen.
Yeah,
that you're gonna have more issues when it comes to how far can you see. And there's no, from what I saw, no like, hey, my field of view, like, let's pull it back a little bit, so I'm not focusing on everything in the distance. It's just kind of set. So the problem was when I go into an area that has a lot of scenery and a lot of background stuff, I would just start chugging really bad. But that was fixed. And I want to say that the ending of Dishonored 2, since I played to the end, but only with one character so far, amazing ending. Like,
really?
Like, not what I wanted.
Okay.
What I will accept as an ending, but I really wanted more setup for a new story.
Okay. Well, sorry. Just a quick moment. Okay. I'm gonna turn off noise suppression on my laptop.
Okay.
And tell me if it sounds better. All right. I'm gonna hit turn off. Okay. Does that sound better or worse?
No different.
No different. Okay, I'm going to turn it back on, and now I'm going to ask you, first of all, what kind of ending did you get?
So I played as Emily... What's her face?
Emily Colvin. That's awesome. Colvin. I played as Corvo. This works. Yes. Go.
Okay. So I played as Emily.
Mm-hmm.
And I played... So I started to think... I was trying to decide how am I going to play. Like how... I've played these games before where, you know, the first game I'll say I played where I didn't give a shit who died. I didn't care if you died, if I killed you, if the rats ate you. I didn't give a fuck about that. Like, get the bad ending. This is the ending I deserve because it's how I play.
Yeah.
If that's when they want to point it that way, that's fine. I'm not looking to be this holy Christian savior for everyone. They can fuck right off. It's a goddamn game.
Mm-hmm.
So I played this game to the extent of like, well, I'll try not to be, you know, I'll play how I want to play. And if that means me saving people or, you know, sacrificing somebody because somebody wants someone to die, I'll do it. I found out through this whole thing that I'm a fucking heathen when it comes to playing games because I really didn't care about just not saving everyone or anyone.
Wait, so wouldn't that mean you go high chaos then?
I did.
Oh, okay. Go on.
I did.
Go on.
So, I ended up – so the first area I got into, the first thing I did was the guy who takes your ring.
Yes.
I killed him. Like right, like, and the first thing is like, you could let him live or you could kill him. No, I killed him, killed all the guards, got out of that place.
Uh-huh.
When I got on the boat, I tried to kill the lady on the boat, and then it said the ultimate, you killed one of your allies, you failed. So I was like, okay, so it's one of those. All right, yeah. I get that. It's the same game. Okay, fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I got into the docks at the new area, the area where you start off, and I went to talk to somebody, and they started screaming, saying that I killed someone. I hadn't touched anyone. And so everybody started to attack me. And so from that point forward, I had this mentality of, I just need to kill anyone I see because they're all idiots. And they think that I've done something wrong, so they need to die.
Right.
And when you take the heart out and you listen what the heart has to say, which in the first game, I didn't know it did that. That's what its purpose was.
I didn't know that did that either. I didn't know.
So yeah, and in the second game, it really drives home that like the heart tells you things about people.
Yep.
And their background. Like, I didn't realize that. I was like, okay, they really didn't portray that very well. But I was like, everyone here I'm talking to is evil. All right, I'm not even gonna take the time.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna take the time. I was gonna kill everyone. I will say I got to this one point where it goes, she's trying to provide for her family. She's trying to do everything she can right. She gives to the poor. And I ended up killing her anyway, you know, because it's like, you know, you're hanging out with a bunch of people who are bad. So
yeah, you're on a bad path.
That's right. You're guilty by default. Sorry. Association. Nice. But yeah, I ended up trying to. So it wasn't just I kill people on my way to my point objective.
Yeah.
I actively went back through levels trying to kill every person. Like
wow.
I was going to genocide the entire map before I moved on.
Fuck. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Now,
that's cool.
That was based on because I had to do that to find every fucking rune and every
dude.
Everything that was there, a collectible that was
dude.
Around.
So I played the game kind of like the opposite of you, but not quite because. Okay. The way I started was, I'm Corvo, right? I'm fucking the Night Protector, which means everyone in the main city, they were my fucking men. They were my men, and this asshole comes along, starts replacing my men with bastards, right? And then this woman comes out of nowhere and takes my daughter's throne.
And shitty machinery. Shitty machinery.
Right in front of me. So
yeah.
In my hometown, all gauntlets were like the gloves were off. I murdered fucking everyone like the whole time. It would be like I did what you did. I went back through levels, back to like other rooms I couldn't find, whatever, and then made sure I murdered I gacked every last one of them because fuck those dudes, right?
Yep.
So you know that the graph it gives you at the end of each level? I was bottom left-hand corner with like a dot, just a bottom left-hand corner dot, all the way chaos, all the way assault.
Yeah, if I could have seen the actual graph, if that graph had a bigger display,
yeah,
it would have been off the graph.
Like as chaos and assault as you can get. So, but then you leave Karnaka, or I was for Karnaka, right?
And yeah, I was you like, leave for Karnaka, you're yeah. in Dunwall, you leave for
so
Karnaka.
So in Corvo's right. head or my head, I was like, okay, well, these people are only guilty because their bosses did a bad thing in my hometown. So these guys aren't actually that bad. So I went through Karnaka, absolute ghost mode. All like 9, okay. 11 missions or whatever you spend there. I went absolute top right corner. I maybe killed one or two dudes by accident. Like I killed, like I knocked someone out, but then near mosquitoes and mosquitoes killed them or something like that. But almost every mission, I got both the invisible and undetected. But I need to tell you, man, getting those runes and shit undetected is so hard in that game. I played that game for like 35 hours because like half of that was just reloading. Because
you played it more than I did. So I thought it was a long playthrough for me playing on – I think I played on normal.
Yeah.
Same normal. For 16 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Now, yeah. I want to you know, I will go against that in saying that my first playthrough of Dishonored, the original Dishonored, was like 6.
Yeah.
It was very short.
Wow. All right.
I have 24 hours on it now because I've replayed the DLCs and played it through twice to the end again. So, but Dishonored 2 was a lot longer. And near the end, I ended up like not caring so much about all the bone shards and runes and stuff. I kind of was bypassing.
Well, you find your niche, right? And that's
right.
I think my biggest problem with it is how much things cost. So you can't really experiment because if they'd added a way to respec, I would have no problems with this game. That's all it needed. The only thing this game needed, in my opinion, aside from a better plot, was a respec. So I can like try new powers, change my playstyle, have fun with it. You go so deep into a line, and each line costs like 20 bone shards total or something. Something huge like that.
So that's interesting. You played Corvo and you're saying that. So in playing Emily, I spec'd more in my physical abilities.
Mm-hmm.
And less in the magical abilities.
Right.
Like,
So you took all the passives.
I took more of the passives. If I played the game again, or if I look at my playthrough, I had the full far reach. Like, I could do everything in the far reach category.
So what is far, like, as a person who played Corvo twice, essentially, with both what's far reach?
So what's Corvo's void, like, I'm going to jump to this balcony.
Yeah, he's like space and time.
Yeah, so he's like, you know, I want to jump to this balcony, or I want to jump down there. I want to jump over here. And that blink, sort of blink that he uses, that's what's far reach is what she has.
Yeah. So what? Why is it called far reach?
So there's a part in there where you level it up to the point where you could target an enemy with far reach and then pull them towards you. And they'll come flying through the air, and then you could stab them midair.
Because it looks like an arc. Like I've only seen a little bit of gameplay.
It is an arc, and it is an arc, and it's really annoying to try to focus,
right?
To hit something because it doesn't. When you're like, if my reticle is looking the edge of a building,
yeah,
and I trigger it, it doesn't want to focus on the edge of the building where I want to jump up. It goes like below, so I have to arc up further than that.
Right.
To then hit the ledge to where it has the arrows going up to say I can jump up to there.
Does time stop when you use it?
So I only did that near the end, and time does not stop when I use it. What I got near the end was whenever I got a bone shard, which is your augmenting of different things in the world.
Yeah.
Not related to the power directly, but indirectly, I would say. I was able to, when I'm detected, slow down time.
Oh, okay.
Or no, maybe that was one of my physical ones. Like when I'm detected, time slows and I can react quicker.
That's one of the passives that you can get.
That's one of the passives. Yeah, but I did get was whenever I use my arcing ability, my far reach, I'm invisible. Ooh. So before, if you use it, people could like see, oh, what was that? But if you use it with this piece, it's like they don't see that. And that's a bone really shard cool. that you find, which was later in the game.
Wow.
Which is kind of cool. But between
you know what? Like, I have to say, those bone shards are in many cases more like give you more possibilities than the actual skills themselves. Yeah.
Yeah, and so that's what I didn't realize. And what's kind of annoying is they don't really point that out, even though I watched like one playthrough before I bought the game. Or someone got it like a day early, and so between that 24-hour period, I watched a little bit of what he did,
yeah,
and then I bought the game. But the ability to – it didn't really hone that you should really spec into crafting bone shards.
Totally.
Because then you can break down chaotic ones and then redo this and do this.
Yeah. I let so you have your interesting abilities.
Right.
Because there's two types of bone shards. There's ones that give you like a one-off really powerful ability that you can't learn when you break them down. And there's ones that give you like really small buffs that you can learn when you break them down. And right. So you want to have like a bunch of like four bone shards and ones so you can have as many possible as the more powerful ones, the single bone shards.
Sure.
At the end, you have 10 bone shards. I was like six of the single bone shards and four bone shards in one because I had the crafting thing. If I didn't have crafting, I don't know what I would have done at the end.
See, and I just expand. So it wasn't until the last episode where I expanded my ability to add another option to one, like one. Right. I didn't use any more than that because, like you said, the problem with respecking that there's no respecking and it costs so much. And I did
so
get
so much.
Like, I had like 18, and I'm like, well, for me, I don't need Void Walk, or I don't need the ability to do Doppelganger.
Mm.
Like, I don't need all these other abilities. All these other abilities are secondary because the way I'm playing, I'm going to run up to somebody and just murder their face.
So you did like, because the melee is nice in this game. It feels good, I think. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's very good. It's frustrating to a point because
when there's more than two dudes, I'm like, oh, okay, I'm just going to reload.
Yeah. Yeah. And I didn't spec the thing where I could like block projectiles, so I was still getting like hit every hit until like near the end. I saw that and I was like, okay, well, I probably should have done that.
Yeah.
But the problem is the game really doesn't point out, at least to me, it didn't tell me why I needed this specific thing. And I had my far reach, I had my ability to see where people are walking and where they are, and that's
dark vision's key. Dark vision is so key in that game.
But there's one thing I don't like in that game, and I don't know if it came from a bone shard or a rune or what it was, but the adrenaline, like when you kill two people in a row and all of a sudden like you have like this murder instinct. I don't know if you had that with Corvo.
That's one of the passives.
Not.
Yeah.
Okay, that's really fucking annoying.
Yeah?
Like that is probably the most annoying thing in the game. The fact that it dims you. So when you play the game, it says move your thing to dim your display to what's barely visible to get the right dark to light ratio, your gamma set on your monitor.
Yeah.
And when you do that, if you trigger that thing when it, I figure for me, when it was set correctly, it gets too dark.
Right.
And there's too much audio that's playing that like you're in this like rage mode. And like, guys, I need to focus on what's around me. And I hear like people yelling in my ears or like this little high whisper in my ears because I'm in a rage mode. Like, I don't need to. This room's clear.
That sounds
like,
annoying. Stop. That sounds really annoying.
And it really was. Like, there are times where I will get it and I will sit there for like 20 seconds till it wears off.
Oh, because like, it doesn't end when the combat ends. Right.
That's right. It's like, okay, well, now I'll just go and then now I can continue what I'm doing. Because I need to be able to hear for people talking if there's a conversation being had. And I can't hear over this.
I would have loved like to be playing. Able to go, okay, well, I'm going to just take those points out and just spec them elsewhere. Like, it needs a respec so bad. Like, so you can just like experiment with stuff like that. And just, if you don't like it, change it, man. It's,
gosh, so much murdering faces in this game. There is so much. It's really, really good.
So what powers did you do just quickly? Like what powers? So you only took Far Reach? Was it the only one you took, or did you take anything?
Yeah, so I took Far Reach and I took the ability to see other people in the area. And I didn't even go beyond. I went see other people and see where their path is gonna be.
Yeah.
And that's it. I never took the one to see where gates are or where power supply power
stations. That's useful because it shows you automatons. Why I took that one.
It's not well. There's no reason for. I didn't need it for anything. I mean, I can follow a line of electricity back to where it is. I don't need to know that it's through this wall.
Oh right.
Because for me, it was more. I'm going to explore everywhere anyway.
Mm.
I don't need to find the right place, the specific place to go.
Yeah.
One thing.
My powers, I really like the powers themselves. Again, I just wish you could respec because essentially, because you can't respec, I end up having to, and all the powers are powerful. I end up having to like do a self-imposed thing, and I played the game in a specific way. So you start the game, and I was all that murdering everyone. I didn't know how much was in your homeland before you go to Karnaca, so I spec'd that way. So I had like deflecting projectiles, a bunch of like physical stuff, right, for fighting hand to hand. But then it's essentially the first mission only. Then you go straight to Karnaca for almost the rest of the game. So I was like at a slight disadvantage at the start. So I didn't even have like upgraded blink and a bunch of stuff. So what I spent most of Karnaca on was upgrading my stealthy stuff. So I had blink maxed. So it's awesome that one of the things is when you're using blink, you stop time, or time goes really slowly, very, very, very slowly. So I could essentially, if I want to spend the juice, which I almost never did because I finished the game with 10 vials or whatever, but I can just essentially just blink through an area. So blink multiple times. And because you're slowing time each blink, as long as I made sure to start blinking again the moment I land, I'm never there for long enough for someone to notice me. So I'm just like, bam, 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 bam. It, like, and from their perspective, I'm just like disappearing, reappearing across the room or whatever. It's like ultra fast. If you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, or like just right in front of someone, then you can alert them. But as long as you're like not going right next to someone, you just keep blinking. That's pretty awesome. Then took dark vision to see through walls and line of sight and stuff like that, which is invaluable if you're going for a stealth playthrough. And that's essentially the only two powers I used, except I made sure to save up bone shards, and I'll tell you why. On the other side of things, I did runecrafting, and I spent the whole game runecrafting, essentially. Bone charm crafting, everything. I took a bunch of passives to help me out with that. But because of just how much things cost, it was actually those two. And when I got enough spare bone shards sitting aside, I started investing in taking over people's bodies. What's his face? Whatever that is. There's an easy name for it, and I've used such an obvious word. Anyway,
it's not a doppelganger. Possession. Okay.
Yeah. So I never like possessing animals. That's lame. But you get a bone shard later in the game that when you leave a possessed person, they fall unconscious. So again, I can enter a room, possess a dude, and another one of the powers is you can possess while also already in a subject. So I can enter, especially with some of the later runes, I can enter a room, possess one dude, then possess another dude, then possess another dude, then possess another dude, and everyone just starts falling unconscious. It's so powerful at the end of that game. It's really fun. Really cool. So it's like it made stealth playthroughs really fun because like you can just fucking knock out entire groups of people. If you want to spend that much mana.
Funny. So with your stealth with that ability to do that is the same with my ability to grab people and items with far reach.
Yeah.
So cool. I would be pulling people from literally four stories up from the ground.
Holy
I would
pull shit.
Them up to me and then stab them.
Oh,
while
wow.
They come like they're arcing into my path and then I execute just the stab motion and they're dead.
Yes. Assassinate is really important. And actually it plays into the final part of my story, which is, as I said at the start, in my head, I was like, okay, in Karnaca, I won't kill anyone. I'll try not to kill anyone. But in my hometown, the gloves are off. The reason I'll get to the last bit in a second, but when I go back to my hometown, there's a bone shard that when you finish an assassinate, which is the immediate, like if they're undetected, like right bumper or right trigger or instant kill. It's like just one hit, they die, right? There's a blink strike thing that if you blink up to someone and they're and you're undetected, you automatically assassinate. So you can assassinate immediately. So I blink to someone, assassinate. But there's a bone shard that when you assassinate someone, if you blink within 1 second of that, it's free. So in the last in the last area of the game, I just go, blink, assassinate, blink, assassinate, blink, assassinate, blink, assassinate. It's just like fucking wiping out dogs and shit. Like, holy crap. You can like wipe out entire areas with that. It's really awesome.
So was that useful in the last part? Like
the we finally get to the final battle, right? Where it's like
yes.
you and 10 people, and this is what I was. Yes. So this was my plan from the start of the game.
What was your thought?
So my plan was, I know which of Corvo's ability is the most broken in this game, so I'm not going to use it till the last battle. So you walk into the room, and there's a painting there. And I hit the three lines or whatever, my Xbox 360 Elite controller. And I go to Time Stop. I invest all the shards. I max out Time Stop. Okay? I get into the final battle. She summons her clones. I stop time. And it's instant one-hit kill to everything alive in the room. So that final battle was over in under 30 seconds.
Oh, man.
And the only waiting time was because I was waiting for her to spawn more dudes. So literally, she'd spawn three. I'd time stop, kill them all, and then have to wait for her to spawn another three, time stop, kill them all again. It was the feeling of progression that granted me, or like starting with nothing, getting blink strike, getting dark vision, getting possession, and then finishing the game with time stop. Even though I did that to myself, it felt amazing because I was so overpowered in the last fight. The only funny part was you can't time stop her. She like you time stop and she's there, and then she moves a bit and she enters the slowed time with you, and she looks around and goes, huh. And then you keep fighting. It's actually kind of cool. So yeah, I battled her through time and space. That's how I ended that game. How did you end the game?
Mine did not play through so
so smoothly.
So smoothly on that. No, not at all.
How'd you go?
So when I first walked into, I'm going to start off when I first walked into my throne room.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
I forgot the heart thing for a second.
Oh yeah.
I snuck down. And I saw her like she was like a little whimsical like spiritual.
Doesn't even pay attention to you.
Fluttery thing. And I go down. And I'm like oh. And so I'm like, okay. So I like hold the button to hold my charge attack on my sword. Like I'm holding it. And then I go and I stab her and she pulls it out. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Yep. You have to use it.
And so then I see her and I right click and I'm like, okay, there we go. Okay. Now you're fucking mortal, bitch. Fucking A.
Yeah.
All right. And then she jumps into the fucking painting like a bitch. Asshole. Yeah. Now before that, which I don't know how this plays at because I didn't see this part of it, but I did the part where did you go to the conservatory or the thing to make the rune to offset the chair? Skull.
Yeah, I did that. I killed all the bosses non-lethally because it's way more fucked up. Like killing them is fine, but like fucking someone's mind or fucking them in a painting or like all the other ways you fuck people over in that game is fucked. Uh-huh. Non-lethal killing is way worse for the bosses. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so I made the skull, but I didn't know where to put it until after she jumped in the painting. Then I saw the throne chair.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. Well, I walked over there and I was like – and I walked over there and through the rest of the house. Like before I went to the painting, I went to the rest of the house. What can I steal? What can I get? What can I take?
Yeah.
Which is kind of fun. Mm. And then I put the skull in the thing to offset the runes. So now we have three bad runes to one, two good runes. So that will kill her in some way probably if I mess up something. And then I jumped in the painting. And when I got in the painting, I walked up and I saw her there on the chair. And I thought, okay, hold on a second. At first, I did the whole thing, charge in. So I charged in, I ran, I stabbed, and she – all of a sudden, whoop, and I had that ability that slowed everything down when people were – so my ability is when people see me or I'm recognized or I'm seen – time slows down.
Yes. Yeah.
So immediately when the 10 clones see me,
oh, like, you get
all
time
slows down.
Yeah.
And okay. I take time stop. And I see all of them around. Like, okay, well, fuck, this is not going to work out how I hoped it was. And so I end up fighting all of them. And so I'm like, and what sucks is with the far reach, when you're fighting witches and you far reach and pull them towards you, they can blink out of it.
Oh, that's lame.
So that didn't work out as well as I thought. And yeah. So I died. I died and I went back into the painting and then I did the same thing again. But this time I'm like, okay, I'm going to put a fucking dart in her head. So I got to the point right before it triggers and I zoom in and I put a dart and all of a sudden, brink, you know, like comes up like a Metal Gear Solid type,
yep.
you know.
Yep.
Yeah. And then I'm like, okay, well, that didn't work because all of them are triggered. So I run out of the painting.
Nice.
So I exit the painting, and it's like, no, I have to defeat her on her own terms. I have to kill her one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, fuck. All right. Well, I jump back in the painting, and then I see that little symbol that kind of shows you, you know, it kind of shows you the good or the bad.
Yeah.
You choose between killing the boss.
Yeah.
And it's over on this, like the right side. She's hiding between two other statues.
Oh, she's still in the room? I thought she just disappeared.
No, she's still – no. Well, she's in the painting in her area but hiding between the statues.
Yeah, that's what I meant. I thought like when she summoned her clones, she was just not on the map.
No,
that,
no, no. Okay. She's there.
Oh, right.
And so – but here's what's fucking stupid. Here, this is my annoyance with this is I see her. I'm like, all right, cool. So I jump down. I far reach over there. Boom, nothing yet. All right, cool. I pull back on my blade. Walk up to her and I assassinate the fuck out of her. She's dead. Boom! You're dead.
Oh, wow.
On the ground. Guess what? Clones are still there. What the fuck?
Like,
why are the clones gone? Well, it's a secondary objective to kill all the clones. So I can kill her, take her body, and jump out of the painting.
Yeah. And just leave
the clones. Be done with it. Or I could stay and kill all the clones. So I stayed and kill all the clones.
Yeah.
But man, that was a treacherous battle.
Oh, wow.
To do that.
That's our battles are all opposite.
Yes, completely opposite of everything.
That was the easiest fight in the game.
No, not for me. The easiest fight in the game for me was the clockwork dude.
Oh,
that was
man.
The easiest fight.
Oh, dude, those clockwork, those machines, because you can't fucking hurt them unless you knock off their heads, really. Like,
so the trick to those machines are to have the wire mines that shoot out like the wire cutter mines, whatever those are.
I never used those in the whole game.
Okay, so if you use those plus like two grenades, they're dead.
Okay. All right. Oh, but you need three grenades total.
Yeah.
Two mines and a grenade. Holy shit.
Yeah.
I found that. It's kind
of frustrating.
If you. Oh, stealth in that game is really annoying. So, say you knock off one of their heads, right? If a guard walks past them and makes sounds, they go crazy and kill the guard.
Well, yeah. So they even tell you if you read the game, it says that if you remove the head, they will not know who to target, and they will target anybody that makes sound around them.
Yeah, and that was awesome, but it counts against me for kills. So I had to find a way. Was bullshit. But I had to find a way to take out those things without making sound because they explode when they die. And without like, I did a perfect takedown on one of them because in one case I was in a closet and one just stopped outside and would not move. I waited 5 minutes, did not move. I couldn't see like a line from it. It was just like deactivated or something outside of the closet I was in. So I had to figure out a way to take it out without alerting anyone. And you have to use like fucking 5 crossbow bolts. You have to take off its head, you have to take off its arms and its legs, and then it dies without making sound. But if you do anything else, it makes sound. It's so annoying. And sometimes it can see you just cause.
But they're better. They are better than the tall boys.
Oh, right. In the first one.
The tall boys were frustrating to try to even mount to do anything with.
They were just annoying.
At least these, there is a set way to do it.
Yeah. It's repeatable. It's doable. That crossbow is so good. I love the crossbow in this game. Did you use the gun?
So in next month, in December, they're coming out with a new game plus mode. Mm-hmm. At least they had mentioned it.
That's good.
And that's when I will start my game again.
Yeah.
And playing it.
I'm like new game plus means I can't try Emily because you have to stay the same person, right?
Right. So you will stay the same person, game plus. I'm assuming, of course. I mean, I would think, of course, that's how that would work.
If I was them, I would just refund all bone shards and allow you to pick anyone. Like, that's what I would do.
But
I'm not them, and they apparently don't like refunds, so fuck you.
I don't know if I would agree with that because I would still feel no game for old men should. Okay. For all intents and purposes. I think you should play the same person over again because you played through it once, played through again with that person, but with what you have set up.
Yeah, okay.
But
I don't want to go through and get all those bone shots again. Fuck.
Well, no, you won't. Well, so think of it this way. You collected the first 5 bone shards in this one area. Now you can collect them again.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take away. It just adds. You're just adding. You're adding to it.
That's if I would, thought. I'd be like, I have time stuff now. So I'll literally just walk into an area, kill everyone.
Well, there you go. So, yeah, so it's not a big deal. In my new game plus, I will do what I'm infamously known for is cheating through the game.
Hell yeah.
Because I don't want to deal with, I lost all my arrows. I want to be like unlimited arrows
and just, and get the rapid fire. I specifically didn't get the rapid fire one because you only have 20. I don't want fucking rapid fire.
Okay, the rapid fire pistol is fucking amazing.
Oh, you only have 20 shots, man.
It is so good though. Oh, and I didn't even upgrade all my shots, I don't think, in that one, or at least I didn't collect enough to, but man, it went through fast.
Man.
But the rapid fire shots were pretty awesome.
I like the lock onto 3 thing. I never used it because by the time you got that, I was already back in your hometown. So I was already like blink strike murdering everyone. Right. But it sounds cool, like the lock onto 3 dudes and 3 headshots. Essentially, that sounds useful. I don't know.
Right. So my issue is, you know, much like a lot of people probably play through this game, is we have that moment where you can spec in a lot of stuff, but you don't know where to spec into. So you kind of you hoard all that.
Yeah.
And you don't really know where to spec to. You're not comfortable in speccing to a certain area.
Because there's no respec. New.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say there's no respec. For me, it wasn't – I didn't think of it as, well, if I spec here, I'm not going to be able to respec. That really wasn't my thought. It was more of, am I really going to use this?
Oh, okay.
And in my gameplay, it wasn't pertinent for me to use that ability in any way.
Yeah.
To better the game for what I was trying to accomplish.
Right.
So now in my next playthrough, I might do it just for fun and see how it changes the game. And that's – for me, that's where Dishonored 1 differed a lot from people who didn't play through it all the way or play through it again because they didn't get all the stuff or they didn't try everything that was in the game. In the second playthrough, it's more like, okay, well, the gloves are off. We're just going to try whatever because I don't really care. I know the story.
Yeah.
But here, it's the story with Emily, or with you, it's the story with Corvo.
Yeah.
Now I have to play through again with Corvo and then play New Game Plus with Corvo.
I really like the Corvo playthrough, I have to say.
Yeah, so it's great, right? Because you can play through Emily and then Emily Game Plus. Corvo, Corvo Game Plus.
Emily Game then Plus.
Emily Game Plus. And then see how it changes things.
Yeah. That sounds cool.
But I still don't think I will change the way that I play the game.
I would have to see abilities
to play the game.
If I was to play it again, I would literally pick the inverse of what I picked, aside for time stop.
I can't do that. I can't because for me, I know how I like to play a game.
Right.
And if I go and I say, okay, I'm going to play this game, but hey, I'm not going to kill anybody, or I'm going to be very lenient on killing people. Well, that's not how I want to play the game. Like, my instinct is to kill certain people, or my instinct is to do certain things in the game. And if I have to moderate myself, I get bored in the game. And I'm like, why am I doing this? And
there are so many times when I was like, oh, I just want to just kill everyone. This is so annoying.
Right. See, I don't want that. That makes it not fun for me. And then I'm like,
yeah,
why am I playing this game when I'm trying to hold back? No, just fucking the wrath of hell. Go dead.
If it wasn't the payoff at the end, when I did just take the gloves off and murder everyone, like essentially what I was doing is I was buying the low chaos ending for a high chaos, like ending level.
So speaking of low chaos and high chaos,
yeah,
let's get to the nitty gritty here.
Yeah, let's get to the plot. Finally get to the plot. All right.
Yeah, let's get to the plot, and by the plot, I mean the ending.
Yes.
So in the ending, you come out of the painting.
Yeah.
Where you are done. You have two choices, which were the most fucking abrupt two choices ever given to any individual in any fucking game.
What were your choices?
My choices were take the throne.
Oh.
Save your father.
What?
Those were my two choices. I could either release my father from stone or take the throne.
Oh, you mean daughter?
Daughter? No. Well, I'm playing as Emily.
Oh. So I take the throne. Right. Sorry. I was so confused. You're like, Corvo is dead in this game? What are you talking about? I was like, what? I was so confused.
Oh, that's weird. I was like, weird. All this time for
you didn't know that, but the original assassin.
Holy shit! Yeah. Okay. Got it. All right. We see father take the stone. Okay. Yeah.
Right. So, I want
to. Why wouldn't you release your father?
What was your choices? What were you given?
Okay. So, I don't. So I killed the last chick the non-lethal way, which is I killed all. I brutally murdered all her clones with time right. stop. Then I parried her and knocked her out. I choked her out, which I thought was kind of anticlimactic because literally all I need was one parry. Then I hit RB and I just hold it down. So she's just there like choking in my arms and fucking falls asleep, which for a final boss doesn't feel like a good payoff.
Sure.
Then I chuck her on my shoulder, take her out of the painting and then put her on the throne with the corrupted skull on it. So she gets trapped in her painting and lives out her life in a false world as queen. That's how that works. Then for me, I don't even know if I got a take the throne option. I just got
okay.
set free your daughter. Because I got low chaos. So I don't know if I can take the throne.
So here's how mine played out. So she was dead, right? So I killed what's-her-face, Delilah, in the painting.
Yeah.
I decided once all her minions were dead to take her out of the painting. I was like, no, fuck you. You're not going to live in your happy, happy world. Regardless of whatever, I'm pulling you back into reality.
Yeah.
So she's dead already. It doesn't make a fucking difference. But I pull her back into reality, you know, and then I throw on a fork. And she's there. So my two choices are take the throne, save your father.
So that's take the throne sounds like the evil – like this because there's a good chaos and a bad chaos ending. I don't think there's an equivalent for – low chaos. I don't think there's like a perfect and a not perfect. I'm pretty sure there is a chaos and utter chaos or whatever ending. And I think taking the throne would be like the absolute chaos, whatever they call it, ending.
Sure. And if you've gotten this far in this this podcast or this recording, and you don't want to hear what happens, then stop at this point.
Because this is the other ending potentially, right?
This is the other ending.
Yeah.
So with Emily, during my 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, okay, you should be off by now. Okay, so during that ending, throughout the entire gameplay, because of how evil I've been, and when you take the heart, so let's go back a little bit, just a tiny bit. When you capture Delilah's soul in the heart.
I really liked that mom in there. I really liked her having her around because it was a very interesting, different kind of experience. Because I use the heart a lot because I've got all the bone charms. So having the wife around, in my case, or your case, mother, was interesting because she'd always be there, you know, commenting on whatever, blah, 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 blah. Having her around just being a bitch was actually kind of fun and funny. I liked it.
Right. And so for me, when I basically hit that last point where I take her soul goes away and then Delilah inhabits the heart, right before that, she goes, "You have become the evil in this world that I sought to stop."
Wow.
Like she tells me that as her daughter, and I'm like,
damn.
All right, okay.
Jeez.
Essentially. And then Delilah gets to the heart. So throughout the gameplay, you know, Emily's whole thing is, I will take back my throne. I will kill anybody in my way who has taken this throne from me. I will murder everybody. So my whole thing was get back on the throne. Get to the throne. The
really?
Throne is mine.
Because Corvo's was like, even the first mission when I played it all the way chaos, he's like, I'm taking back my daughter. I'm taking back my daughter and killing everyone in the way. Like his only motivation, no matter how you play the game, is to get his daughter back, which I actually appreciated, but go on.
Sure. So here's I will put on a little side thing for this. I'm going to play Corvo the same way I played Emily and see if the choice is to take the throne.
That'd be really
like that's the ultimate fuck you if that's a possibility.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing.
Wow.
But essentially I took the throne instead of saving my father.
Damn.
And so at the end it says, you know, like Karnaga has fallen because I didn't save the guy. I killed everyone.
Holy shit.
So it's like Kanaka has fallen into whoever, and it goes, and Emily Rule is Emily the Butcher. Like
damn.
That was my name from here on out, with her father by her side in stone forever and on forth. You
dude,
know?
So like I don't want to call bullshit on on them and their crap. Because I don't care what you say. That's the bad ending. It's not cynical.
It's not fucking, oh, this is the cynical. No, that's the bad ending. Everyone dies. Dude's stuck in stone.
Yeah.
Kingdom falls. That's the bad. That's the definition. It's not cynical. It's bad. You piece
no,
of
that's
shit.
A bad ending. That is like how do you take? So that's my way of playing through, right?
Yeah.
How do you take that and make another story?
Like, exactly.
Now, the only thing I can say to any of that is in the last chapter, before you get to Delilah, like you're sneaking up on the throne room. There's a statement that's made that Dowd is still alive.
Yeah.
The original assassin from the first game.
Dowd takes on Emily. That'd be kind
of
cool.
There's a potential of something there, which I appreciate. There wasn't nothing. But with the ending I chose, that is like a finite, that is an end.
Yeah. Wow.
End of that timeline.
For me, it's like really open. Like Emily keeps ruling. I'm by her side, being her dad. The inventor goes off sailing with his girl. And yeah, it's like, oh, no, not with his girl. She leaves. She leaves to find Dowd. Everyone's just happy.
Oh, shit. So in the final one, remember I told you I tried to kill the boat lady?
Yeah.
Like the first time I met her?
Yeah.
In the final episode, I save again. I'm like, you know, this guy, I can't remember the old painter dude's name. I can't think of it right now.
Sokovich.
Yeah. Sokovich, whatever.
Whatever.
So I save the game and I'm like, huh. And I listen to his recording and he goes, well, probably tonight I will end up dying anyway. We will see what happens. And so I walk up to him and I stab him and he dies.
No.
And so I'm like, oh shit, it didn't give me a game over.
Oh fuck. That's so dark.
I walk up to the ship and she's there and she goes, I just want to talk to you about something. I'll tell you things are going to play out. I'll take the ship on my own. Well, you shouldn't do this, yada, yada. And then, you know, thank you for everything. And then I kill her. Bam.
Oh.
She's dead on the ship. And I'm like, oh fuck. Okay. I have completely solidified the evilest role. And
holy shit.
And Emily says, thank you for everything you've done, but your time is like, you've worn out your welcome.
Damn.
I'm like, yes. Oh, it's so.
Holy shit. That's dark.
Exactly what I wanted. Yeah.
All right. So you got the bad ending.
Well, hold on. So I got the bad ending, right? But I'm smart. I'm a gamer, right?
Uh-huh.
And
yep.
Gamers think alike. What do we do before the ending happens?
You save it.
We save the game. Exactly. So after the credits roll and I know exactly how evil I am, I go back into the game from that one point and I go, you know what? Let's save my father. Let's see what happens.
Uh-huh.
And so I save my father. And the exact same thing plays out, except it says, and Emily the Vengeful
rules
over her throne with her father by her side for years and years to come.
That's actually kind of cool. That's a pretty cool thing, vengeful. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. So you become you're either the butcher if your father stays in the stone,
ultimate
or you're
evil.
Vengeful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the rest is the same though. It's just that one scene that's different.
Well, I don't know, right? So I didn't save. So I didn't save the guy who brought. So I killed everyone. Everyone in that game died. Every person. There was no one that I saved. Period.
Oh. Okay.
So it may have been different if I were to have saved the clock guy, the clockwork dude.
Oh, a couple of them.
Or if I would have saved the counts.
So I can tell you this. It is absolutely different because the developer explained how it worked. And this is why I did the whole – well, part of why I did the whole low chaos – I'm buying the low chaos ending with my high chaos last level is because essentially – what it does is it's stitched together from multiple scenes like Mass Effect, where for every big choice you make, they literally have a scene. And there's, I think, two versions. Or no, there's like four versions of every scene. There's let them live low chaos, let them live high chaos, kill them low chaos, and then kill them high chaos. So there's four versions of every scene. I'm very interested to see what the low chaos kill them looks like, because that's like, that's weird. It should be almost antithetical, but no. You have those, and for each area, so essentially each mission almost, you have a scene. So there's like six or so or eight or so scenes at the end. So in mine, obviously I just got like happy, 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 happy. So I just got all the good ones. But for you, I assume if you just change one of those barrels, it'll just switch one of those last scenes or add a scene. Like, you wouldn't have got a Sokolov scene in yours because he's dead. But I had him in mind because he was like sailing off to like one last adventure.
Well, so for mine, there. Okay, so let's put it in perspective here. In that last, you've made your choice. You're either queen or prince, or you saved your daughter or whatever. And it does the cutscene thing, right?
Yeah.
So we're now in the cutscene. The only thing I saw was after the murder of what's his name, the big fat dude.
Yeah.
That you know, Kranaka fell and everybody scrounged for food and
wow.
It was a horrible scene. It was really bad.
Yeah.
And then it cuts to me on the throne, either being the butcher or vengeful.
Yeah.
That's it. There is no other.
Shit.
Somebody went off into the sunset that I killed somebody. That was it.
Damn, I had like 8 scenes. Like, it was like,
no.
What's his face? No, actually, there wasn't one for the inventor, but Kanaka rose and had like an air of peace because I put his, like,
oh no,
I had his double take his place, and then Sokolov went off and did the thing, Chick went off, did her thing with Dowd. There's something else in there, and I forget what. Oh, yeah, then it was, I'm pretty sure. I think I may have had one for the main bad girl, like living off her life as the ruler of her, the little side world. I might have had that scene. I don't remember if that's a scene or not, or he just says it out loud.
Okay.
Before the last cut scene. But there was like 5 or 6 different scenes, all of which like, oh, this is what these people are doing now. Just quickly, just because we may as well round this out because we talked about pretty much the whole game.
Sure.
I have like a couple of areas where I want your thoughts on it. With the mission you have to kill, so take one dude and take him to the other dude to open a path through to this mansion, right?
Right.
What did you do there? Did you
kill both? No, I killed
that
both.
That makes sense,
and
yeah.
I found the article or the entry into a journal that said how you figure out the puzzle.
Yeah. So that mission was like towards the end of the game, and when it got to finally the point where I was like, okay, I'm actually overpowered, because essentially I went through that whole mission without even trying, right? Went to one dude, knocked him out, then changed my mind, went to the other dude, knocked him out, then changed my mind because there's a third option, and then I went to the first dude, found the way into the place, grabbed the dude I knocked out, took him to a taxidermy, whatever, put him in a coffin. Then I went all the way back to the second dude I knocked out, took him back through to the taxidermy, put him in the coffin, then left. I went through the whole level like 4 times or 5 times without ever being spotted.
Wow.
That's how overpowered you get. But I really like the option there because that's probably one of my favorite levels, because it drip feeds you your options. At the start, you think there's only one solution, which is take one of them to the other. But as you go through it, it starts revealing more and more ways to finish that level. And in the end, there's like 5 or 6 ways to finish that level. Sadly, it doesn't really – I don't think it plays out in the final cutscene. Like, you never really get it does. It actually does matter. So the next – when we'll talk about the next mission in a second. But when you come back for the next mission and time has changed – I don't know if it changed for you, but for me, time has changed. And everyone was like ultra happy. Because of that stuff I did. And that was actually really nice to see that the stuff I did had an impact, but it didn't have an impact on the ending. So now let's go to the other, one of the cool missions of the game, the time mission. How did you go through the time mission? What was your experience with the time mission?
So the time mission, I wish lasted for more. Okay. I want to equivalate, for people listening, the time mission to a very similar a period, I will say, with no spoilers, but you know, the idea of something is different within the game itself.
Yeah. We're in a spoiler cast. Oh, right.
With Titanfall 2.
Yes.
So I wish it lasted longer.
For me, it lasted hours.
Okay, well, for me, it did not last that long.
Because you lose your powers, I was a powers dude, so I had nothing.
Okay. Okay.
I did all these crazy tricks with like appearing in front of someone, so he goes, oh, what's that? Then I had to go back through time, and then go, like, turn around and go behind them, then come back through time and, like, choke them out. But then someone would see me, so I could fucking reload, and, oh, I was, ah. Oh. That mission pissed me off so much. Go on.
So without save scumming the entire fucking game, you know, for me, it was very short-lived, and I wish it was a little bit longer. I wish, spoilers, of course, you were able to keep that ability throughout the rest of the game.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. That would have been an amazing achievement for them to have developed literally almost two games, three games within a single game sale.
Yeah, because well, there's only like three missions after that, so it's within the realms of possibility that they.
But a lot more would have had to been done to create two different worlds.
Because it wouldn't have to be two; it would have to be six. Made.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because all right, so the cool thing is, I like time manipulation always. It's always fun to do. And I love the fact that you can see to the past, and that was really fun. It's so useful to be able to do that. And you can do it almost made up for the fact that you didn't have powers. Thank God you still had your crossbow. If I didn't have my crossbow, I would have just fucking quit the game right there. At least I could knock people out with like sleep darts and stuff. But so you get to the last – essentially the decision point is what you do with the dude, right? So what happened when you played through that mission?
So when I played through that mission, I jumped down. He was on the piano doing his thing or whatever.
Yeah.
And I killed him.
Okay.
Sorry, you're dead.
Right. Yep, sure.
So played through the thing, got the safe code that I needed to get into his vault in the past. And I thought it was going to take an extremely weird turn.
Yeah.
Because when I went back into the past after killing him, the house was previously owned by somebody else, not him. The house was up for auction and everything in it was. There were no guards when you left the area. And the vault panel had been removed. And the door was just open.
Huh.
And you could walk in there.
Right. Okay.
So it was a little bit different, but not to the effect of it changed the entire outcome of the game. Like,
but was it run down or was it new? Yeah, was everything new?
It was brand new. It was new. It was newer than the run down look.
Yeah.
It was kind of like, you know, because when you do it, you play mostly back in time.
Yeah.
In that aspect.
Well, you reverse things. You mostly play in the present and sometimes you go back in time.
No, mine played mostly in back in time.
Oh, you played mostly in the past, like the
castle? Mine played mostly in before anything happened.
Yeah, okay.
So
I spent most of the time in the present because I essentially just used the tool to look back into the past to manipulate it that way. Right. Okay.
Okay. So I played it differently. Like,
it's because I was stealth and I couldn't just hang out there. Yeah.
So even in the past, I need to be a fucking Grim Reaper and kill everyone.
Right. So it actually sounds like they only have two versions of that map. Because
yes, they do.
My present version after changing the past with knocking him out was that he was just, you know, not at home. He was working. The reason everyone was happy was because he was now like the mayor of that area. And he was doing a really good job and he was out working. So I was literally just at his house. Now we're just talking about that. So it sounds like the house is the same. It's just that the NPCs say different things. That's the only difference between our presence.
So, you know, there's – so when I killed him and he was gone, when I went back in time after that point.
Yep.
There was no longer the rundown place.
Right.
If that makes sense. Okay, I just don't know if that came across correctly. So yeah, there's almost three different versions, right?
Well, there's the rundown version, there's the past version, and there's the present after you've done the thing. And there's a less rundown version than the actual.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You always change the present, apparently.
Okay.
So do you need to get a quick break? I'm seeing okay. So we're just going to come back after a quick break, and we'll talk a little bit more. There's not much left to say. But
no, not much. I just need to take a quick little break. All right, thanks.
And we're back, joined by the man, the myth, the legend, the guy with the good voice on the podcast, Durin. What's up, Durin?
Noob is here? Noob is here? I didn't realize. No.
Oh, that's my God, where did you come from?
So I almost wasn't going to go ahead and record because, as I told Senek prior to the start of the recording, I didn't have a lot to talk about, in terms of, like, I've been playing. But then I remembered there's been some things I've played.
Okay, cool. But hold that thought, because this will be really confusing to anyone listening to this, because I probably have introduced you earlier in the podcast.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I don't know. Sure. I don't know if this is correct. For people at home, we've been recording for 2 hours and 19 minutes, roughly. And now Durin's rocked up at the end of the show, but I want to have him on, so whatever. This is the Scotchcast, and we're just going to do what we want. That said, we're just going to finish this section of Dishonored. Durin's here for it, so we've taken the spoiler tags back up and putting them back on. So it won't be spoilers.
I don't like this.
You got an hour of spoiler talk.
But you have, for a game, if you're, this games is not a spoiler. Wait, this good. Is not a spoiler. For a game that lasts two times longer than the original game did, there's a lot of spoilers.
That's true. But a lot of it's like, it's not actually that worth discussing. It's not that, like, the plot isn't that great. It's a plot that gets you through it.
Yeah, it seems like it's a game that's all about just, like, the gameplay.
The gameplay is why, yeah. It's a lot of why I enjoyed it. So, Squiddle, our last question about Dishonored before we break it off and then do our segment with Durin, which I don't know where I'm going to put in the podcast yet.
Sure.
What was your favorite part about Dishonored? Or favorite level?
Man.
For me, it wasn't the clockwork thing. Like, I don't know why everyone loved it so much.
So, I would say the most memorable for me was the clockwork thing.
Okay. why?
Just because
I'm not spoiling anything, but why?
So watching the quick look on giantbomb.com, or I would say the quick look, I would say, right? Yes, it's a website about video games. I guess watching the pre-play, or the one that was recorded, that what's his face went and did, and I'm forgetting his name.
Which one? Was it East Coast or West Coast?
No. Oh, fuck.
Dan?
The one that hates Dan.
Jason?
Oh, Jason.
Jason, thank you. Oh, man. Okay.
You know, Dan's best friend, the guy who hates
him. Yes, exactly. So the recording that he put out, which was the EX or the, you know, the whatever it was, seeing how he played through that game, and the immediate path that I took alternate to what he did, let's just say I never saw Jindosh till it was over.
Really?
Okay. That was it. Yeah. Never saw him. And I found out that place was more complicated than anything in the quick look.
I thoroughly explored that place as part of trying to get all the bone charms. Okay. And I don't mean all the bone charms. I mean, I 100% of that game with bone charms. So I've seen most parts of every level. I don't think there's many parts of those levels I haven't seen, if any. Maybe there's some weird, like, rooftop areas that are optional. They maybe have, like, almost nothing on them that I didn't see. But essentially, ground is the whole fucking thing. And especially since I was playing stealth, so you have to go around. You can't really go through. So yeah, like, there's a lot to the Clockwork Mansion that I liked a lot. But yeah, it's kind of, once you figure it out, there aren't actually that many options. You figure out a way through it that is very specific. If anything, it's something I haven't seen before. Which this game is the thing you can say about the Clockwork Mansion is it's something I've never seen before, and it's totally awesome, and everyone at least it's impressionable. Oh, it gives an impression when you play it, no matter what.
Look, trying to explain it without spoiling anything is fucking impossible.
It's difficult,
and that's what makes it so good.
Yeah, so it's very fun. But that is nowhere near my favorite level. My favorite level is probably. All right, so favorite level to play was the last level because I took the gloves off and just murdered everyone. Right, okay. That's why I played stealth, is so I can earn that final murder spree with Time Stop and everything. That was fucking awesome, right? Corvo's so OP. But the favorite from like a gameplay perspective was probably the one with the two dudes, one you have to take to the other. Just because of how it meets out the ways you can, especially when trying to play that stealth, the way it meets out your options for finishing it is very interesting, and I like how that's structured. But then, just in terms of like a nice little vignette, I like the one, the witch level. That's pretty good. That was cool. I like how it's just in one, like most of it's just in one mansion. So I like just exploring one mansion. That's fun. There's a lot of this game I really like. Let's just say that. I had a lot of problems, and I'd probably still only give it like an 8 or maybe 8.5 out of 10, just because of how many problems I had with it. But I really liked it. I really, really liked it. I'm definitely happy to play it.
There you go.
There you go. What would you give it out of 10, Squiddle?
10 out of 10? I would give it I'd give it a 10.
A 10? Wow.
Oh, I have no qual. I mean, this will be, if I am counting, it will be number 2 on my game of the year.
Damn. Nice. Yes. What's the current number 1?
Doom.
Oh, yeah. That's, oh, man. Man.
Doom is my number 1, and there's nothing anybody can do to convince me otherwise, especially if you're a Hitman fan. Fuck off.
Doom is
still number 1.
I like Titanfall more than Doom.
Mm,
I'm saying no. It. I'm putting it out there. I liked it more than Doom.
You will have to prove your point to where I will meet you face to face to argue that.
It's not about. It's more like I just like the gameplay better. I just like how it moves. Yeah. Anyway, that said,
I'd give Dishonored 2 like an 8.8.
Have you played any of it yet, you bastard?
2? No, I'm fucking dude. I've only played like maybe. Let's see. Hang on a second. Let me see here real quick. Put my library.
You don't own like it, do you? You don't even own it, do you?
Dishonored. I've played 4 hours of Dishonored 1.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Sure. That works.
I didn't hate it. I just stopped playing it.
Yeah.
Like I didn't hate it. I actually really enjoyed it. In fact, I reinstalled it recently. So go back and play it.
Having seen Dishonored 2, it actually makes me curious to go back and play Dishonored 1. If only because
I played the shit out of Dishonored 1. Oh my god!
The only thing I can think of is something else must have come out around that time.
I
really enjoyed it.
I didn't play it at
all. In my friends list, Slam Andrews is the only person who's played more Dishonored 1 than me with 108 hours.
Damn!
And I played 24.7 hours of that game.
It takes a lot for me to replay a game in general, so there's no way I put that much time into either of these. I've only played a couple games in my life.
And for me, like, I'm not a good judge of whether I thought a game was great based on the time I played. Like, Doom is fucking fantastic. Like, it's a really fucking good game. I have played 36 minutes of it.
That's all you need, though. Okay. Honestly, I was saying last week.
That's all I need to be able to say, like, yes, that is one of the top games.
The more I play Doom, like last week's podcast, I talked about it, but as I played Doom more, especially since I went back to it after playing Infinite Warfare and Titanfall, I actually like it less now than when it came out. So maybe
you're misunderstanding. Like, I'm going to play more of it. I'm just saying that I only needed a half hour to know that that was one of the best games of the year.
I just needed to know it was coming out to know it was going to be the best game ever released.
I don't know. That thing was
I would have thought that too, and then No Man's Sky came out.
Anyway, with that, we're going to end out the show.
No Man's Sky, I can't tell at this point.
We're going to end out the show, probably. I'm going to cut in the Durin segment somewhere earlier, probably? ? I don't know. I'll figure it out. Thank you for listening for this episode of the Scotchcast. Check us out at www.scotchcast.cool. Or you can check us out on Twitter at TheRealScotchcast or at WickedCast. And email us at TheRealScotchcast@gmail.com. Thanks and bye.